Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, yeah, the Urban Sports Scene. This is episode 200. This is a glorious occasion. I am boosted. I'm here, my main man, Ray Jeezy. We're waiting on our homie, Will T. But Ray, I'm glad to have you here. What does episode 200 mean to you, man?
It means a lot. I've seen the show start from the beginning, so I'm excited. You guys have grown without me and Fish. Wish Fish could be here. Nice shout out to
me
him.
Me too. Shout out to Fish, man.
But I'm excited. Call me Colt McCoy. I'm filling in for RG3, ineffective Will T, who's always late. Sit him down.
You said ineffective RG3.
No, well, I said ineffective Will T.
Will T. Oh, okay. I thought you was going on my. Well, he's not my quarterback anymore. If you've been listening to the show, you've seen I've turned on him.
Oh,
I haven't.
You and everybody else. For good reason to a degree, but anyway, we'll get there. I have some thoughts about that.
You had thoughts about it. But yeah, this is episode 200. It's been a grind. It's been a good ride though, in my opinion. I've loved it. I've got an opportunity to meet or actually talk to a lot of cool people via social media and even people who've been guests on this show. And it's been great. I mean, like we've done before, having the Skylar Diggins interview and whatnot. You knew it. You know what I mean? The Donnell Dockett situation with Fish. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we've had a lot of awesome memories doing this show. And hopefully we can add on to it. But it's been a blessing. God is good. I appreciate everything. Appreciate the connections. Appreciate the people who listen in every week. It's been awesome.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, man.
We should highlight the goals that have been achieved thus far and the ones that haven't.
Okay, it's easy. Okay.
All right, but you can start off with the bad ones.
All right, that's the iTunes.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The iTunes. What was the goal? It was like
the goal was to crack the iTunes top 100.
Yeah, that was
a couple years ago.
A couple years ago, and that we knew was a couple of us knew that was not even feasible.
Not even cracked the top 1,000.
A couple of us knew that wasn't even feasible. What was another goal?
To put out a blog or produce a blog like at least once a week.
Yeah, that was not going to happen. We had a good five. Was it five months?
I did at least five by myself.
Yeah, you were good. You was holding it down.
Not really, but.
You didn't. No, he was holding it down. I remember.
Will did an NBA free agency that, one when LeBron was making the decision to go
to paragraph?
Miami.
Who's the paragraph?
No, well, Fish did. He did two small paragraphs, one of which didn't make a whole lot of sense. But Will T, I remember distinctively.
Yeah.
After LeBron's decision to go to Miami, since then LeBron has went to four finals.
Yeah.
And he signed with Cleveland again. Yeah. And Will T produced some boxing stuff, I heard.
Yeah, no, he did a good job of the boxing stuff. So, the boxing stuff was good.
I can't hate on him.
The boxing
stuff
was good.
He's still benched, though.
The boxing stuff was good from Will T. But yeah, the blog thing, I know I had the Randall Cunningham thing. I felt pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good blog. The next thing I can identify, I'm sorry, I'm just being
negative. No, we're good. Go ahead.
Is
you must laugh at yourself. You got to. You have to laugh at yourself.
We were supposed to what? Send the show to somebody?
Oh, Doc Walker?
Never happened.
Never happened.
Well, at least Will never did that. Again, it's all following him. We're supposed to have sponsors.
We did have one.
And then Will, what happened?
No, we had a sponsor.
Everything on Will. Hashtag blame it on Will.
So we did have a sponsor. It was for the March Madness thing. I got paid for it. It was cheap, though. To put their ad on the website.
You did get it?
Yeah, I got it. PayPal.
This was recent?
This is a while ago.
Okay. Mm. Because I know when I was around, it was a sponsor.
Oh, no, that offer. One, you're right. That one was, we got, no, we didn't, we
and
didn't accept that one.
Monthly.
Yeah, that one was, yeah, Will did this dirty than that one.
He said, know your worth.
Know your worth.
You know, this guy was offering about $35 a month. But still.
It's $35 a month.
Put it in an Urban Sports Team account, man. Come up with a budget, see?
And have a black card.
Will T's
I mean?
Benched. I'm blaming everything on Will T. I planned on doing it anyway. This is premeditated.
Oh, Lord.
But he's not here, so it makes it even better.
He'll be here shortly, soon. Shortly, hopefully. Our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Let's not waste any time. Let's get our tradition of pregame. Let's go to Ray Rice. Ray Rice was reinstated by the NFL. By the arbitrator, basically. Do you think he will play this season? Will team pick him up this season?
No. No, I think that's not even worth discussion.
I'm with you. I kind of agree with you. But there are some teams out there that would
benefit
from having his with him on the roster. Like the Colts, who have no running game. the Cardinals. I mean, teams who want to make a big run in the playoffs. It's a guy who, even though after last season,
that wouldn't help. But go ahead,
last season he didn't have a strong season last season. But you know, with Ray Rice's ability, I mean, if we can go off the year before that, he's a guy who can catch out of the backfield. He did run well between the tackles. So someone like the Colts, who don't have a running game at the moment, would be a nice sign for them. Off the talent alone, we're not talking about the action and what he did off the field.
Well, you got to consider he's got to learn a playbook.
That's true. He's a running back, though.
Yeah, but still, he would have to learn a system. More than likely, someone would pick him up outside of Indianapolis to catch out the backfield. I'm thinking New Orleans. Although they have Sproles has been injured. And Mark Ingram has been more of a every down back for them, surprisingly. So New Orleans could use him. Someone who's in a tight division race, which is hilarious.
What about Atlanta? Could Atlanta use somebody like that?
Atlanta has too many running backs.
They do. Yeah, they do have a plethora. They have a plethora of running backs. Carolina.
Carolina has, you know, a lot of running backs too. Now, are they effective? Jonathan Stewart looked decent this past weekend. They're just not winning games right now, but they're not going to touch him. So, the amount of teams looking for a running back at this stage is small. So I don't see him getting picked up. Plus, you know, he won't be in shape right away. He could help you come playoff time if you don't play him right away. But again, just based on the media response alone and the media attention, yeah, it's not going to happen.
All right, so let's go down. Let's go down to pregame. College basketball. Maryland Terps are 7-0. Let's start off this. Is this the year the Terps make the tournament?
It appears that way. However, we got a long season to go. They already have a strong RPI and they're back in the top 25 for the first time in forever. So, Turgeon finally is getting a chance to use all of his recruits and play them in his system, and I think it's benefiting. Everybody knows he's a strong coach, but up until this point, he hasn't had much influence on the recruiting.
So who's the main freshman they have that's actually playing well?
What's his name, Will? You know, Treble? Is his name Treble?
Treble.
Treble. There Treble. We go. Yeah, he was ACC Player of the Week, I think.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch all the Maryland games.
He's a top recruit. Yeah.
Where do you go? What high school do you go to? Is he local or is he?
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. Put me on the spot. Good.
Nah, I mean, do you know if he's local or not?
Sure, do not.
But anyway, age of the internet. So anyway,
check real quick. Will T's here, man.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
It's fine. It's episode 200, homie.
Episode 200, man. That's why I'm a little bit late, man. I was out celebrating. You know what I mean? I wanted you guys to warm it up.
In rare form. That's why I called myself Colt McCoy. Filling in for ineffective Will T. Stepping in.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But, Terps 7-0.
Did you talk about Thanksgiving? How was you guys' Thanksgiving?
Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't talk about that at all.
Did you say what she was thankful for? I mean, come on, man.
I'm breathing. I'm always thankful. I'm thankful anytime I wake up. You know what I mean? So, but Thanksgiving was great. You know, it was an awesome time. Spent time with my family. Got to eat. I ate a lot.
Okay.
On Wednesday, hung out with a couple of homies. Drank decently. On Friday, drank like a beast, though. Right, Will T?
Yeah, man. We had a great time Friday night.
Yeah, actually, that's the main image on our on the episode. Well, the 200th episode. I used that image.
Oh, flyer. We're bartending.
Bartending image. So it was great.
That's what's up, man. Yours, yeah. Raymond.
It was great. Went to Atlantic City. Didn't gamble. Stayed in the house, but I ate a lot.
That's what's up, man. A lot of turkey tofu and stuff like that.
He's not vegetarian anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Nah.
So you eating the meat now?
Fish.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Terrible.
Mine was cool. I went to New Jersey, to Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Call me?
Yeah.
He didn't call you? I know, right?
Nah, I ain't called nobody. I went up there and then came right back. And then, you know, Friday, I went to a great birthday party for one of my close friends. And
fantastic.
Yeah, my buddy Wally attended it. Also, a Jew went with us, and we had a great time.
Sounds like trouble.
Nah, it wasn't. Nah, Wally had a great time.
We had a great time.
Jew sat over in the corner like he was depressed.
Jew was sitting on the corner, just annoying. Just very annoying. We told him to come down to the bar, you know, be bartenders with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
We should tell him the story. What happened? How we became bartenders? That in that situation.
Well, we had too much to drink.
Yeah, that's true.
And the bartender, she left, so we wanted to keep the party going.
But she said, "This is what she said to us." I said, "Where are you going? What's going to happen to the liquor?" Self serve. Me and Will said, "Okay, downstairs."
Yeah, we went behind the bar, started mixing it up, and you know, kept the party going. Yes, so
exactly.
At the end of the night, hardly remember anything.
Yeah, but it was a great night, though.
It was a great night, though.
Great night.
Yeah.
All I know is I got to my bed with the same clothes on. It's a great night.
But not to digress, I don't mean to break the flow of the show. So you can keep going, you know.
All right, so I know, Ray, I think this is redundant for you, Ray, but is Turgeon, you believe he's the coach for Maryland? After, you know, right now, they're 7-0.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think Washington football can learn from him. Keeping your coach for a while, you know, not giving up.
Wow.
You know, right away.
No, I've always stated, I still, as I stated when he joined, when he came to the University of Maryland, I think Mark Turgeon, if given time, will be a guy who will bring a national championship to Maryland. You just now, whether the alumni, the fan base, and the AD are patient enough, that's yet to be seen. But he's done a pretty decent job at recruiting,
okay.
Specifically in this area.
So, all right, Maryland's
it's
playing.
It's Trimble, by the way.
It's Trimble?
And he's from Upper Marlboro.
Upper Marlboro, he is local. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, cool. So, Maryland's playing Virginia on Wednesday night, ACC Big Ten Challenge. What will a win do for Maryland, the program, period?
I mean, it'll definitely give them more recognition, you know, because Virginia is ranked 7th in the top 25. Everyone knows just off of Virginia showing last year and then what they've done thus far in the season that's a very strong team, a very well-coached team by Tony Bennett. I think that, you know, if they get this win, because they already had their win previously over Iowa State, then with this win, you know, those would be two top 25 wins. Even though they're early in the season, it definitely helps strengthen their resume.
They're ranked 21 now.
Yeah, 21. Maryland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it only further strengthen their resume. Hopefully, it'll get them in the top 15 with a win.
Top 15?
Yeah, I mean, with a win,
so
I think
what's Virginia's rank?
7.
7?
Yeah,
seven.
I think
that's right. Top, you're right. You're
yeah,
right.
I think they possibly can move them into the top 15.
Chances are for Maryland to win the Big Ten. They look this strong right now. They knock off their Virginia team. Obviously, there's Wisconsin, Michigan State. I don't know if Illinois, Michigan. So they, you know, obviously it's top heavy with the Big Ten. So is there a good chance that Maryland can even win the Big Ten?
I don't think so, not at this point. I just don't think they have the upperclassmen when it comes to later into the season. But I definitely think that they have a chance to be one of the top three teams. You know, Wisconsin's strong now, but Wisconsin has a history of trending down as the season begins to go on. But this may be.
I don't agree with that.
Towards tournament time. In the tournament.
Yeah, they usually are about best Elite Eight, average Sweet 16. But I'm not going to give them a regular season title, speaking of Maryland. Okay. But I will give the Terps a chance in the Big Ten tournament.
In the Big Ten tournament? You think they win?
Potentially, because
I can never
young team. Well, Michigan State.
They don't look good, but I can never. Every year I go. Every year I can't look at – when I look at Michigan State, I say, okay, this team is, like, average to me. But then towards, like, the second half of the season, they just turn it on. And they have a chance to win the division – I mean, the Big Ten Conference, excuse me, or they're in the Final Four. This is just how – this is just – that's just Michigan State for you.
Well, I just said Maryland will have a chance to get mm-hmm. the Big Ten tournament title.
Tournament, mm-hmm.
Not the regular season. I can't see that. Based on, you know, the tough road games we just identified they're going to be playing.
Mm-hmm. But do you see them – say they were in the ACC, would you look at them as a contender to win the ACC?
No. Here's the thing. They went to Cameron every year, but, again, they have a young group. If this was a more veteran group, you know, you had some key players transfer, mainly Nick Faust. But
where do you go anywhere?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no clue where he went. But – just based on the fact that he's gone, Dez Wells is out, from what I understand. He's hurt.
Yeah,
so
he's out a couple games, yeah.
They don't have that veteran presence where – because no stadium in college, except for maybe the Carrier Dome, compares to Cameron, in my opinion. So if you can play at Cameron, you can play anywhere.
Carrier Dome, you're right.
That's it. I mean,
I forgot about Syracuse.
I can't think of anywhere else that can compare to those two venues in college basketball. I could be wrong. Pauley Pavilion is a big one. Kentucky's rough. But
Kentucky's rough, yeah.
What is it? Kansas?
Pavilion is UCLA, correct?
Yeah, that's Pauley Pavilion.
That's what I'm saying. Kansas is rough.
Yeah, the Field House, Kansas, that's pretty rough.
In comparison to Cameron?
Cameron's
very unique.
Because everything is unique.
But the Carrier Dome, to me, is rough, too, man. A rough environment to play in.
No, I was just going to say Cameron is rough because of the way that it's
so small.
Yeah, it's so small, and the students are kind of tiered up on each other as you go up level, every level. It's kind of almost like the Verizon Center, how the Verizon Center is built.
Oh, so the Verizon Center is like rocking?
No, the Verizon Center hasn't been rocking in a long time, but I mean just architecturally how it's built. It's in the Verizon Center, you almost feel as if the people behind you are on your back.
All right, let's go to the Hoyas, another local college basketball team. Georgetown lost to Wisconsin and Butler over the weekend. Your thoughts on the Hoyas?
I really thought Georgetown was going to win that game against Wisconsin. They started out really hot. Then towards the, I guess it's that veteran experience that Wisconsin has towards the end of the game. They started to impose their will and clawed back into the game and ultimately got a victory. I didn't see them play Butler.
I saw that game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Butler beat Carolina, too. Butler, historically, plays the bigger schools tougher than they do teams in their own division. But Georgetown, to me, is just inexperienced. And also, I'm not the biggest John Thompson fan, just being real.
John Thompson III?
Yeah. I mean, did I have to say JT3? I mean, you knew what I'm talking about. I'm not the biggest fan. Just due to his failures in the past with talented rosters to make deep runs in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
We had a call. Somebody missed it.
Yeah, oh well.
Oh.
Had a call. Missed it.
So what?
No, I'm going to call back.
They'll call us back.
Probably won't. We'll call back.
Yeah, but.
I'll call back. All right, this is weird. We've had technical difficulties or like lapses of silence when I'm here.
It's fine.
Come on, coach. Call the play.
What?
Oh.
Here we go.
Hello? You with the Herb Sports thing? Hello?
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 Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you now. We hear you. So who's calling from the Urban Sports? Who's calling?
Oh, my name is Jonas.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. So who you calling in for? What you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I see the 200th episode, and then I see, pictures of Redskins colors, so.
Oh, you want to talk about RG3 and
No. Listen, RG3 is in the past.
Okay.
I've been on like Facebook, threads that just get exhausting, and one thing that just does not make sense to me is how people could be so ready to move away from Jay Gruden so quickly.
Okay, I actually agree with you on that. Go ahead.
Well,
I don't think that there's enough. Now maybe it's just like, ironically, the same way RG3 goes about explaining things, you see Bruce giving up too much information. But all of you put in, Colt. And funny thing is, Colt is actually the only person that Gruden really brought to this team.
That's true.
He inherited Hazlitt, he inherited RG3 and Cousins, he inherited a bad offensive line, he inherited an owner and a dysfunctional organization. He took all of this into account. The one quarterback that has actually started a game and won has been through through Jay Gruden's good, doings. So, if you look at that and then you look at us, Colt putting up almost 400 yards of offense, our defense really let us down. Everybody knows that. But I feel like it's just blasphemous to sit here and say that Jay Gruden, it's time to move on. No, it's time to get rid of any more conversation. Who is watching the Redskins? And if you have DVR like me and so many others, when you watch what RG3 does, forget the film room. Let's just talk about what we see on Sundays during game time.
Okay, all right.
That is a waste of time.
Can I cut you off?
It is over. This guy had his father complain. His father basically opened up his mouth, and he co-signed for it. He didn't want to do read option. He was filling himself off one campaign, and now listen, man, I really don't know much more that I need to support to say, but then I want to say this. I don't want to hear anything more about getting rid of Jay Gruden. The one thing that I'm still kind of hung up on is I feel like there's, I know this sounds crazy.
All right, hold. Let me, I appreciate you, you know, your input and everything, but to say that, speaking of fire, any talk of firing Jay Gruden is blasphemous, I think that's kind of overboard, don't you think? I do agree with you that, you know, this organization has long had a history of not giving coaches the right amount of time to kind of implement their plan and, you know, see how things play out, just because the nature, you know, the nature of this owners and also the fan base, they're kind of impatient. But, you know, I will agree with you that Jay Gruden, he has done some good things. You know what I mean? He's brought accountability to the locker room, as you see him calling out Robert Griffin III, even though I don't think that's the right thing for him to do, to publicly call him out like that. And also,
I feel like it was somewhat appropriate.
Well, this is the thing.
It's unheard of.
No, listen. Hold on. When have you ever seen a NFL head coach call out his starting quarterback like that in the public, in front of the press?
Never.
Okay, exactly. So there's a protocol. There's a way you go about handling things. If Jay Gruden thought that Robert Griffin III wasn't effective or wasn't playing up to a high level, you call him into your office. You talk to him man to man. You don't go in the front of the media and then say, well, Robert needs to do this, this, and this. Because, I think anyone, just being a man, not even an athlete, you're prideful and you're going to say, you're going to retort. So I think that he handled that situation.
May I interject? I would like to add on that point. I feel like people are undermining the strategic move that Jay Gruden basically accomplished. By him airing out the specifics, it's basically shifted the balance of power away from RGD, and people that actually want to give him the benefit of the doubt, that want to throw a first-time coach, you know, with a losing record under the bus. And also, it was important to show the public that, hey, you know what, I don't have Super Bowls like Mike Shanahan, but at the same time, you see what happens when a coach with clout, you know, doesn't really come out and say anything in public, and then all of a sudden he gets exited.
Yeah.
Basically, management chose the player over the coach.
Yeah.
I think Gruden said, listen, if you're going to do that this time, understand that everyone's going to know the deal.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it worked.
No, this is Wally from the Urban Sports saying, I kind of on the side to agree with you. I'm not, because RG3 sent
it. It wasn't tactful.
Yeah, well, RG3 to me has put it out there in a way that he's handled things so incorrectly that you can't even find the correct way to handle things with him. For instance, calling out his teammates in that situation, that press conference. Now, granted, we can all say that we knew what he was trying to say, but he said things the wrong way. So Jay Gruden was frustrated. He thought he had to take control.
Hold on. Do you really think that? How many times are we gonna? I mean, this guy went to college. He's educated. No. Everyone.
But see, that is not.
Do you think that he? No, that it was by accident.
No. I think he's not. I don't. To be honest with you, I'm not saying it's by accident. Whatever. I'm telling you that I don't think he's smart enough. In my opinion, that he's smart enough to do pressers. I think he's bad at pressers. I think it's just he's showing me a pattern to be bad at pressers. That's my opinion about RG3. In terms of pressers, he's not good at it. Now, I think what he was trying to do to a certain extent was trying to deflect some of the attention on him, but at the same time, he thought he was saying the right things by saying we. Now, he was trying to show that he's a team. That the Reds, he's a part of the Redskins and they're a team all together. So any mistake they make, they made a mistake together. Now, granted, again, he was wrong in the way he said it and the way he went about it, but I think Jay Gruden, I agree with you. I think Jay Gruden, what he did, I don't look at it as a negative thing. I think RG3 needed to be called out so he can understand what this team is about. Because, again, this team is not the RG3 Redskins. It's the Washington Redskins.
Listen, but is it a coincidence? Like, for all those people out there that still support him and want to talk, Jay, I was just on a Facebook thread that just, I was blue in the face. I mean, the race card came out. I mean, it started to get so ridiculous. And I'm like, listen, what happened on Sunday? We go on the road, and a quarterback produces almost 400 yards. I mean, like, when was the last time that happened? When was the last time RG3 actually came close to something like that? So I'm so tired of even considering him as an option at this point. Like, the one thing that I'm, you know, listen, what about Kirk Cousins?
Look,
I haven't given up. I'm sorry. I'm like a battered wife. I still love him. I am not through with Kirk Cousins yet. I feel like we can just remove some of the most. I mean, I haven't seen a quarterback in this town that has made the type of throws that he's made in the wind. It's awesome. I mean, some of the windows, the touch. I mean, he got a little too cute, and yeah, he threw some of the most idiotic interceptions I've ever witnessed. I don't care what city you're, I don't care what team the quarterback played for. But he showed me enough to be like, listen, we got to figure out a way to make this guy see the field.
Who is this again? Jonas?
Jonas.
Oh, I thought it was Ron Jaworski. You sound like you're pro pocket passers. Also, I just want to say,
oh, come on, man.
RG3 is not bad. RG3 is not bad with pressers. It's just he doesn't handle adversity well. This is new territory for him. Jay Gruden, he did the right thing in stepping into RG3's territory. This is what RG3 does. He takes subliminal shots constantly at coaches through the media. Shanahan, he's a veteran. He knew how to handle it. Jay Gruden didn't. And Jay Gruden, you know, proved again that he's inexperienced because he threw the entire team under the bus this week and did not take any responsibility for the defensive lapses. So it's a systematic issue from the top to the bottom. Daniel Snyder is the biggest problem. I'll get there later. But, hey, I appreciate your call, Jaworski, and take care, man.
My man. All right, take it easy.
All right, take care, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Wow, that was a pretty long, in-depth analysis by Jonas.
But Redskin fans are big. They love their Redskins.
Nah, y'all are depressed. That's all it is.
We're not depressed.
Yeah, you are.
I actually agree with those two.
Hey, thanks for the call. Hey,
yeah, we appreciate it.
Tell your friends about us, man.
Yeah.
Tell your friends about them. I'm not here at all.
You are.
You're one of us, man. Stop saying that. You're one of us.
No, I mean, I guess, and we'll dive deeper into it when we get into
the Redskin segment.
Yeah, Washington segment. But
the Redskin segment. That's what happens, baby. You got to be impromptu on podcast radio. Man.
I know you do. You just
got to make it happen.
Let's roll. We appreciate it.
Definitely. All day, every day.
Hashtag 200. Hashtag. Host Will T.
Want me to post it?
Matter of fact, I'm gonna skip the Georgetown talk. That conversation was way too long. Let's go to the. Should I even go to Duke, Wisconsin? Should I just skip the whole conversation?
Let's just. I mean, we already into football, so let's just, you know, when we come back from commercial break, let's talk about. I just think, you know, we already talking about football, so let's get into our commercial break, and then we come back, we'll talk more about Washington football and the beatdown that they suffered at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts this past Sunday.
It's the Urban Sports Day.
For ages.
You dig?
Kirk Cousins support.
Hashtag 200.
Blow up last season. Everyone. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. 'Cause all that matters is what you do next.
Let me see your bounce right and left and let you show. Hey, let you show. Just let you show. Hey, get it right. Let your show, 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 let your show,
This grand hustle team of kings is getting rich. I lean and get lit. Lima bean six, I take breath. The opposite of Primatine Mist. I ride 26 and let my 9 screen flip. Trophy watching over Mac 9 and being clipped.
We on now,
folks. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Florida State's 4.
Yeah, Florida, which I think is a travesty.
It is ridiculous.
We can talk about that later.
You can listen to us by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crypt Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. Again, the phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
It's
that long read. We've been back for a while.
Okay. Well, all right. Now that we're back, we can talk about your favorite subject. I can hear the despair and the desperation in your voice.
Washington
being beat down by Indianapolis.
It bothered me. I ain't watched the game like that.
You didn't watch?
I watched like the second half, and that was it.
Oh, I watched it.
I know you watched it with you.
Yeah. I went to Establishment We Go To because no free promotion over here for me. At the beginning, you know, when they had that initial turnover, I was listening on the radio on my way up there.
I listened to it on the radio.
Yeah, Ryan Kerrigan, he had that sack.
Yeah.
And, deep into Indianapolis territory. And I was like, oh, man, they actually are going to get on the board first. And they got on the board with a field goal, right? So then they come back and they get another turnover. So then you thinking, man, they might put up 10 early on Indianapolis. What happens? They get another field goal. So you go up 6-0 off of 2 turnovers against Indianapolis. And a team like Indianapolis, who's the highest scored team in the NFL and, you know, one of the most prolific offenses, you just can't do that with Andrew Luck behind center.
You want to go?
You're the Redskin fan. I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm just going to stay with the script.
I love it. The defense was a joke. Busted coverages. That's something that's been going on the whole season. As a football fan, period, just to see that happen to an NFL defense to be beat like that in terms of guys running free with nobody around him, probably about 15, 20 yards around him, is ridiculous.
You know the crazy thing is they said Andrew Luck made history. He had he's the first person to have 5 touchdown passes of over 30 yards.
That's
ridiculous.
And to give Colt McCoy, that is ridiculous. To give Colt McCoy credit, too.
He digs the knife in.
I know, right? Give Colt McCoy credit, and after a bad first half, he brought the Redskins to a respectable score. And he did, though.
He had a terrible first quarter.
That first quarter was terrible. And then the second half,
Pressure got to him.
He played well.
He looked like a deer in headlights.
Second half, he played well. And then as soon as he started, you know, to a point where the Redskins were getting momentum, then the Colts had that big play via busted coverage. And you're sitting there watching the game like, wow, like, is this an NFL game? Is this really happening? Is this something that happened on Madden 94 or something?
Can I say something?
Really? What's up?
With all the drama and the attention on the quarterbacks, Trent Williams played a horrible game. I mean,
yeah, but he's playing hurt, though.
It doesn't matter.
He shouldn't be playing. He shouldn't have been playing anyway, to be honest with you. Does an injury make
penalties excusable?
Yeah, and also to kind of piggyback off.
I'm sorry, because holding, it could. Sorry.
Piggyback off of Ray, you know, if you're considered, you say you're one of the elite left tackles.
He is one of the elite left tackles.
That injury he had is not a joke. He damn near is almost on one leg, seriously. A dislocated kneecap? No, that's not. He shouldn't be playing at all.
Well,
he shouldn't be on the field.
Why'd you play?
He shouldn't, because he feels that as the captain on the team, he feels that he's a leader. He has to step up.
This is Ray John Rondo.
Huh? No, I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Yeah, I understand that, but it did. So it's two trains of thought. Either A, you gonna hurt the team, or either B, don't use it as a built-in excuse.
To me, he shouldn't so be playing.
You don't play.
Well, it's the same thing I told. Well,
RG3 should you
exactly.
Be the excuse.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Huh? I'm the same thing. I've always
given RG3 the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, the
I do
said.
Give him the benefit.
No,
of the
I've always I've always said this. I've always said this though. The job of a player is gonna always play, to play. I don't, any competitor, I will play hurt. Kobe Bryant on basketball. I don't like Kobe Bryant, but he'll play hurt. That's why he blew his Achilles that one year. It's up to the coach. You know when your player's hurt. Same thing happened to RG3. RG3 said, I want to come back in the game. You knew against the Eagles that RG3 was hurt. They decided to let him play anyway. Same in this Trent Williams situation. You knew Trent Williams was 100%. Trent Williams is too valuable to the offense. He's more valuable to that offense than anybody else, period, quarterback, whoever. You let him sit down. You're 3-8. Who cares? You're 3-8. Why would you sacrifice Trent Williams for a 3-8 team? Sit your butt down.
Here's
sit him
the thing.
On the bench.
Did you see what happened to RG3 the week before? Because Trent Williams' replacement was awful.
Yeah, I don't care.
So they didn't want Colt McCoy to get concussed.
I'm gonna say
RG3 be back as a backup.
I'm gonna say this again though. Trent Williams is more valuable than Colt McCoy. He's more valuable than RG3. I'm being real. I don't care if they're getting blasted. Morgan Moses, play. But you're not. Trent Williams shouldn't be.
Yeah, RG3?
Yeah, to me, he's more valuable than RG3. He's a real left tackle. He's a trio left tackle.
That's your opinion.
No, he is more valuable than RG3.
That's not a fact.
He's been more productive than RG3.
So he's more valuable than RG3. That's not hard to do, though.
Then he's more. No.
Right now.
He's more valuable than RG3. Period.
No, you wouldn't. Okay. You wouldn't. This if this was 2012
look,
when you were in the
exactly.
midst of that playoff run.
Okay,
you would not say.
No. You're right. No. You're right. But again,
present tense. Okay,
consistency. He is more valuable. Give me. He's one. RG3 from what we've seen is 1 year. Trent Williams is more than 1 year. Multiple years. You're right. You can call me out, but I have the right to say it. You can call me out, but I have the right to say it because I can go from 1 year for a lot of professional athletes and say, okay, at that point in time, yeah, that other person is more valuable than
Colin Kaepernick. Maybe I think it's different though here because the Redskins.
Why am I talking about Trent Williams?
The Redskins have struggled. because I said that he had a bad game. To me, he killed a few early drives, which would have helped the Redskins stay in the game. Because clearly, the Colts have a lot of holes, right?
Yeah, against the run.
As in general.
Yeah. Vontae Davis is a beast against the run. Today,
I mean,
so.
Yeah. That
Vontae Davis got away with some daggone pass interference calls.
Yeah, I mean, that one with Pierre Garçon.
When you're playing at a high level as a cornerback.
Are you still a Redskins fan?
Who, me?
it sounds like you're losing faith.
No, I'm still a Redskins fan. I'm not an RG3 fan. I watched the second half.
Ah, man, I tell you, there was a caller recently to the Tony Kornheiser show. I hate to say it.
Why you going to mention the show on the show? Don't even mention it anymore.
Go ahead.
Just say a caller on the show.
I should. I made a mistake. But, you know, it's somebody who is agreeing with me that the Redskins are on the cusp of losing this area. They're not the main attraction. The Nationals.
You really?
The Nationals are that close.
You really think that?
Look at this. It's nothing but drama.
I'll say this. The fan base is used to that. This is 20 years of drama, so they're used to the drama.
But I'm telling you, the Nationals with their consistency and showing the potential to win a championship. I'm telling you. This town needs a championship. It's the longest 10-year major city that doesn't have one. The longest drought for a major city right now is held here. I'm telling you.
That's a tough one, Ray.
I mean, you got Colt McCoy and Jay Gruden there.
Colt McCoy is nice, dog.
Okay, look.
He's
Colt McCoy.
He's over 300.
Shout out to Adam Schefter. I can shout him out. He said himself. He said, look, Colt McCoy is just not RG3. Let's be real. He's not as talented. Now, the one thing that I did not take into account is that RG3 told Kyle, who Kyle is looking like a genius this year with who? Is his quarterback?
Hoyer.
Exactly. Hoyer. And Johnny Football. But Lord have mercy.
Oh my God, this can't be live.
200 episode.
All types of surprises.
All types of surprises.
What
right?
was I going to say? No, but RG3, he asked to be a pocket passer. He wants to be Manning, Brady, Rodgers. He wants to be Rodgers, really. So,
Jew in the building.
Jew just came into the studio to show us some love for the 200 show.
Absolutely.
Just pull up a chair, Jew. I mean, one of the chairs, they're going to fall on you.
Due to the fact that
go ahead, man. Don't do that.
So, my bad. Go ahead.
RG3 wanted to be a pocket passer. So, that plays a role. But, like I said, The Nationals, they're going to own the city. They're going to own the entire area. Give them one more year without, you know, running into one of the former champions. They ran into the Cardinals and the daggone Giants. Can we get the Dodgers first round? You know, Dodgers are talented.
Always go back to the Nats when it comes to you. Well, right? Why does it always come back to the Nats with you?
Because the simple fact that the Redskins are struggling. I mean, look at what we're talking about. Jay Gruden, the brother of a great coach.
Yeah.
And Colt McCoy.
All this ruckus in the background. Go ahead, y'all.
I'm just saying. I'm just being real. I think the Redskins are growing in irrelevance. And it's going to continue to be a downward spiral.
Well, this team will never be irrelevant.
So hold on. Can we get an introduction for my man?
All right, man.
A special guest for our 200th show. Just jumped in on the pod. Just came to the studio for the podcast to show us love.
One, you keep calling the studio. I'm going to laugh at you some more. Secondly, man, we're here. I mean, we got the dude known as Harold. We call him Judo.
a fellow Washington fan. So we talking about the game on Sunday. Me and you watched the game yesterday Sunday.
Get close to the mic, man.
I was watching UConn versus Texas college basketball. Miles Turner, he's a star, by the way. I didn't watch that game after they couldn't convert all the turnovers. Sure.
So give us your thoughts. What you saw Sunday on the game as a fan? How did you feel?
Once again, happy 200th show. Rest in peace, Ron. I know y'all probably said that.
Not at all, but thanks, man.
Talk about Thanksgiving, man. You like you ate. What's up?
So, going in already. I love it, man.
It's the Urban Sports scene. Anything I have, man. Go ahead.
It's all good.
Put our hands in there, man.
Love to be. The game.
sneak this.
Nah, the game. Me and Will watched the game. I was disappointed again. Hazlitt, the defense looked terrible. You're in week 13, going into week 14. Still don't know where people are supposed to be on the field. Colt McCoy, he looked good second half. But overall, I'm disappointed. I mean, the organization is just falling apart. You can't blame everything on RG3 anymore.
I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
One is, you watch a lot of games in public.
Yeah.
Green Turtle. I'm giving free promotion. I don't care.
Right.
It's usually crowded with Redskins fans. I want to know what that atmosphere is like these days. And secondly, who would win? The Redskins or Alabama if they play right now?
Alabama.
To answer both questions, one, it was probably me and like two other, maybe three Redskins fans in there.
Baltimore.
So it was some Ravens fans. So the atmosphere was dead, silent.
Told you, the Nationals would have a crowd.
And
there.
Would Alabama beat the Redskins? No,
the Nationals have a crowd.
Definitely not.
No. Colt McCoy versus Alabama.
I don't know, man. Alabama.
Nah, come on, man. This is a professional NFL team.
Alabama doesn't used to matter. Have that. Do you see how Nick Saban been coaching them boys
too
up?
Too far.
Nick Saban. Those players are in the right places at the right time.
In Alabama.
In Bama. In Tuscaloosa. They beating us. We catch that L. I want the first pick overall. I don't care.
And then you go draft one of their players.
Yeah, the safety.
Their offensive line is better.
I want their safety though. The offensive line is better though. Seriously.
Like I said, it's a professional NFL team. I don't got any college team. They can be Florida State, Alabama, anybody, Oregon.
Man, you thought RG3? You thought RG3 was good?
No, everybody.
So that don't count. You thought RG3 was going to do something.
You and me both called this man Black Jesus year one.
I did call him Black Jesus.
And we just seen him. Yeah,
exactly. Jones.
Okay, thank you.
Look.
He said Trent Williams is the most important.
Look. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say this again. Year one's called Fool's Gold. Okay. Year one.
It starts with this owner.
What does the owner have to do with him playing like garbage?
He fires too many coaches. He doesn't let people finish their tenure. He gives away draft picks constantly.
No. What's the owner?
How can you put a team around somebody if you don't have draft picks?
Why are we blaming the owner for
this? That's why Gruden will get another
year. Why are we blaming the owner for this kid's F-ups? I'm just like, why are we blaming him?
Well, I can tell you. Hold on. I can tell you why you blaming the owner.
And he doesn't.
Go ahead.
No, because the owner got rid of the coach who hid this player's deficiency.
That's totally true.
The coach made a system. Him and his son created a system around the quarterback, which only allowed him to read a quarter of the field and only made him make two reads. That was the primary read, check down, and then run.
But if you're going to start, but again. That's true. But again, that quarterback, we're not putting blame on for this situation, shut down that offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator said that Robert wasn't listening to me anymore. That's the player's choice. Again, you're right. The owner got rid of him. That's the owner's fault. But that player decided to shut down Kyle Shanahan. Well, decided I didn't want to run that offense anymore. That player decided
it
that.
It still goes back to the owner, though, because the owner gives them the power.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Had the same he enabled type
him.
Of power.
He enabled
yeah,
him.
I'm telling you, the Redskins are run by the wrong owner.
You know what? It goes back to a Bruce man. Allen's as a done. Man... As a man, period. If you want to be successful, if this dude is giving me is the reason why I can make money and make millions of dollars. Speaking of the offensive coordinator, as a man, I'm accepting that and using that so I can be a better player. He, as a man, had that responsibility to himself and decided to go a different route. Him as a man, the owner can do whatever, but as a man, he has the choice.
RG3 needs to talk to LeBron James. Cut off all the distractions around you. Because, to me, he feeds into the media. This is why he wants to be this pocket passer that he's clearly not. Aaron Rodgers shows you don't have to be a traditional pocket passer to be successful. So, RG3, he needs somebody around him to help him with public relations. Problem with the Ravens, no matter, there's nobody right now that can turn that franchise around under the Daniel Snyder regime. Next year, I think, will be the best indication because you'll have all your draft picks for a change. You don't sign just a big-name free agent. Somebody out there is going to come here. I'm telling you, who's going to be a big-name free agent? It's going to be somebody who he's going to bring. He's probably going to bring in somebody who's done. He's going to get DeMarcus Ware or something stupid. Like Bruce Smith and Albert Haynesworth and everybody
else. He doesn't do that anymore, so that's...
Ndamukong Suh.
He hasn't done that in a while, though, so right. I don't give right. that
let me,
shit.
Let me, in a while?
When's the last time he... Other than who? DeSean Jackson? You called it DeSean Jackson?
No.
That's relatively cheap, and that was successful, to be honest with you. DeSean Jackson.
Larry Johnson, Albert Haynesworth.
When's the last time he's done that?
That was recent.
No. How recent was that, Ray? Think about it.
And how many draft picks did he
stop doing that?
How many draft picks did he give up?
No, he's under Shanahan.
For RG3.
And Shanahan taught him the
exactly. So he still.
That's Shanahan. They all wanted to make that move. Don't play it off like they didn't.
Well, hold on. Because the word is. Shanahan didn't want to give up all of those picks. He didn't want to give up all those picks.
We don't know that.
You don't know.
He was the president. He was the president. He was the president at the time. He was making all the moves.
He was superseded.
The only move he did
by the owner, just like he was superseded by the Donovan McNabb trade.
No. He was superseded by the Donovan McNabb trade. I agree.
Did you hear his interview?
No, but with RG3
after he was done with the Redskins.
What
he said. The only way I would coach again is if I'm under the right owner.
Did he say anything?
In the right situation.
Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter came out and said that, yes, it's true. Mike Shanahan wanted RG3, but he did not want to give up all of those draft picks.
But did he say? Did Adam Schefter or Schefter? Adam Schefter, excuse me. Or Mike Shanahan say anything after year one?
No, they didn't say.
All right, then I don't need to hear anything about them.
Excuse me. After the trade was made.
That was all speculative. To say something. He had the opportunity to say whatever. After year one.
Why would you though?
After year one. With even 3-6 too, like Ray said, even 3-6, when they were looking bad, how come he didn't say anything? That's all I'm saying. After year one,
he did.
How come he didn't say? No, he didn't say anything about specific, we gave out.
Okay,
we why gave out too many drafts. No, I'm saying, but you could say it after the fact. Say it if you. That's what's really happened. How come Adam Schefter didn't say anything after year one?
Listen, we
that's
know
all I'm reason. Saying.
Okay,
no,
it's the same reason. Right, I'm gonna tell you why. It's the same reason why an employer isn't going badmouth his employee while they're under his tenure, because he wants to build them up and give them as much confidence as possible. But when they leave and that employee was sorry, they're the first person to call him the sorriest MF around.
So, Noah, are you talking about that employee, if that employee is productive or not productive?
What?
Are you saying when they have that when that employee is not productive or whatever and he's gone, he can say whatever he wants to. All I'm saying is that when he was successful, when he was doing his thing, I didn't hear nothing about, they gave up too many draft picks from the Shanahan claim.
Okay, from a business
standpoint.
From a business standpoint, if you have an employee who's productive, but he's overpaid, yes, you can be like, he was good, but we paid him too much.
That's true.
I think that's where we're coming from.
Secondly, go ahead.
It's a fact. We've seen Shanahan's MO. He takes chances on people that nobody wants. Who in the heck else would have drafted Alfred Morris? Look at all the running backs he's had over the years. I mean,
who would say John Beck is a starting quarterback?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point. That Shanahan isn't the type that's not going to give up everything. He's not exactly. He wanted Tannehill. He wanted Tannehill.
Tannehill garbage. Go ahead, continue.
No, he
would have made Tannehill garbage. Go ahead.
He would have made Tannehill garbage.
Yeah, he would have.
With Kyle, Kyle is showing
Kyle. I like Kyle. You're right. I'll give you Kyle.
He's showing that he can produce results with T.J. Yates and doggone Matt Schaub. Where's Matt Schaub now? Crickets. Exactly. Brian Hoyer. I mean, come on now. If he can transform Johnny Manziel,
you do the same thing. We all do it. Don't play it off.
No. Doesn't he say excuse me more than anybody? Excuse me. So
I hate this.
That's not my word.
Let me say something. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, it starts from the top.
Thank you.
This organization hasn't had a winning formula since, you know, the Jack Kent Cook era. I mean, Daniel Snyder not saying he, you know.
You just mad your little Parker tickets off.
No. I'm being honest. It starts from the top. I mean, what GMs have we had to put our players in line for success?
Thank you.
Like, let's be honest. Like, it's getting frustrating, Wally. You know it is.
Next year, we'll see.
Like, Bruce Allen, is he really a GM? No. Bruce Allen is not a GM.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
No, he's not.
He's not. We need a GM. We need somebody to come in there and take control.
That normal statement. He's a contract guy. You know, stop that. Whatever.
He's an operations guy.
He's good with it.
Just like any organization, it starts from the top. Winning formula, start from the top. Totally
he's a familiar face. I was advocating for Martin Mayhew. Now, some will say he hasn't built a winner in Detroit. However, would you rather watch Stafford and Megatron and Ndamukong Suh versus Colt McCoy and Alfred Morris and Rashad Breeland?
Rashad Breeland's like that.
I agree with Ray.
Martin Mayhew.
He's a familiar face.
A pretty good GM.
And he built through the draft.
And he built that Detroit team through the draft.
He's had some tough luck.
I'm cool with AJ Smith, man. That's what I want.
You want AJ Smith to be a full time the king of no rings?
I want a full time. The man who ran everyone out of
San Diego. He had a championship team intact.
He built it and ran
him out of town.
I don't care. I like what he built. He built a good team. He got LT, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees,
Bill Polian.
He built a good defense over there.
Bill Polian,
Ron Wolf.
He liked his ESPN job.
Bill Polian has already stated that he has to have total control, and he's going to make his son the GM.
I don't think that's going to happen. No, I'm cool with AJ. I want AJ Smith to be a full time GM.
But what's the trend right now? People are going to the college ranks, man.
What you mean? For the coaches?
No, to scout talent. But I don't know Washington scouting staff.
I have no idea. But,
I think next year will be a good sign, telltale sign, as they say, because, again, you're going to have draft picks to work with. People are questioning those who are in the role of making decisions, and Bruce Allen is one of them. Brian Mitchell's calling for his firing. I love Brian Mitchell, by the way.
Mitchell is real.
Yeah.
Well, he's real.
Well, no, I'm not going to ask this question this soon because we don't even know where Washington's going to be drafting at. But
I do.
Well, all right. Well, let me. Both of you guys are Washington fans.
Jacksonville or Oakland.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So both of you guys are Washington fans. So you think about it. Oakland, they think they have their quarterback. Jacksonville thinks they have their quarterback. This is a Washington team that's still in flux at the quarterback position. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Your thoughts?
I don't want a quarterback. I know who I want.
We're going to get a safety. We need to address the safety.
Bama right got the best safety in the country.
I told you. See?
You all want it. Yeah, Bama got the best safety in the country.
Yeah, we don't need a quarterback. I honestly think, I mean, people are probably not going to agree that I think RG3 is going to be there next year.
Look, fool's gold.
It's not. I'm being honest. He's going to be the quarterback next year.
That's on my line, man.
You going to draft the safety at number 3?
Yeah, he's that good.
Okay.
He's supposed to be that good.
Number 4, because Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa.
I mean, truth be told, though, if he's not rated,
oh, you guys.
Yeah, that's what they do. Now, if he's not, this is what I would do. If he's not rated high enough to be in the top five, the safety, because in safeties it has to be with the speed. So he has to run like a 4.3, 4.4. So he doesn't run like a 4.3, 4.4. I trade down to make sure I put in a spot where I can get him. But I want that safety.
Do you have confidence in this regime to be able to maneuver
trade? Yes, I do.
And still get him.
Who's going to be your defensive coordinator?
I'm aiming for Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan.
That's my goal for Rex Ryan.
I think that would be great. Yeah. And that was my thought process.
Yeah, I'm aiming for Rex Ryan. Juice, that you say something about RG3, I want to go to this RG3 thing. Because you're like, so, you know, you don't think, I look at RG3 as the Ryan Leaf to Andrew Luck's Peyton Manning.
No. Ryan Leaf never had a good season. Come on, man.
Right now, it's a meltdown. Right now, it's a meltdown. So you're looking at your guy. You see your guy. What do you see in your guy right now to say that he's going to be
an elite quarterback? It's
Reggie Brooks, maybe?
No, it's mental. It's a lot of mental. It's a lot of
Reggie
confidence.
Brooks, the running back?
He had a good first
season. Yeah, he had a good first season. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sure did. He had a good work.
But honestly, RG3, he needs that confidence back. He's too indecisive. Like, he doesn't know, should he run out the pocket? Should he throw? Should he, read options? Should he give it to Alfred? It's a lot of indecisiveness. It's a lot of.
Why do we have to wait for him, though?
Confidence. He has the talent. I guarantee you, if he went to another team, he's going to succeed. Because they're going to put him in a position to win.
There's only a couple teams that I can say that he can win under.
And what teams?
The Eagles. He can win under the Eagles because they're not going to ask you to do but so much.
Yeah, okay.
But at the same time, if he wants to be the pocket quarterback that he desires to be, then that system won't even work for him, since he wants to be a quote-unquote pocket passer.
Right.
So that system won't work for him in that situation. So the Eagles would be ideal for him.
Houston.
No, not even Houston. Just because he has to have a gimmick offense. It has to be a gimmick-style offense for him to be successful, for what I've seen right now. I'm going to go off of what I've seen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's just to be fair. As a pocket passer, he's not successful. He's not successful, excuse me. So
basically you're telling me after 3 years you're done.
3 years. Look at 3 years of any quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but you gotta understand, we talked about this before. I'm not making excuses for him, but when has he really had the offseason to really?
Let me be real with you.
I don't think you can say 3 years because you got to look at Rich Gannon and look at Trent Green.
There's older quarterbacks. I'm talking about in terms of being a franchise quarterback in their prime. You got 3 years. I'm going to be honest with you. Right? 3 years. Steve Young is a backup. As a backup. He played. How many years did he spend as a backup?
Drew Brees
was a starter.
Drew Brees was a starter, but no one could say Drew Brees was a franchise quarterback.
San Diego, people in San Diego, but no, Drew Brees didn't fail. You can't compare Drew Brees's San Diego to what RG3's doing in Washington now. The next two seasons,
listen to what I'm saying. Drew Brees, after 3 years, they drafted his replacement.
I have no problem. I'm not. Look, I'm saying.
Within those 3 years, it wasn't clear that he was a franchise quarterback.
Not even fair. Look, listen. Drew Brees' production
on
the field.
But you just said 3 years.
No, 3 years in production on the field. I know what I'm saying. 3 years in production. You can have 3 years and be solid. But you had somebody replace you. That's totally different. 3 years, two terrible seasons. And your only good year was your rookie year, and your injury. But 2 years after the injury, and you've been garbage. I'm talking about garbage. Not good, not promising, but garbage. Totally different. Drew Brees got replaced because Phillip Rivers was a high draft pick. Totally different. That is totally different. You can't compare the two.
You can.
I'm comparing production.
That's what I'm saying. After 3 years, Drew Brees' production on the field coupled with the injury is the reason why they got rid of him and brought in.
Question. Did Drew Brees, his 3 years in San Diego, were they productive? How many years in San Diego were they productive?
They were productive.
Was he a good quarterback in his
year? Decent quarterback.
No, was he a good quarterback?
He was a decent quarterback.
Was he benchable?
He was a decent quarterback.
Was he benchable?
They didn't have anyone. Was
he benchable?
If they had a better option, yes, they would have benched him.
Was he a playoff quarterback?
No.
The team got to the playoffs.
The last year, they couldn't have gone to the playoffs. No. You know why? They had a top five draft pick.
No.
They cut.
It was the playoffs. You talking about?
No. Drew Brees.
Rivers.
Drew Brees. His last year.
Yeah.
They were top five.
Who's the top five pick? Who's the fifth pick?
whatchamacallit?
Phillip Rivers? Not Phillip Rivers.
Yes, it was.
No, Phillip Rivers was his backup. See, that's when you saw.
No, listen, listen, listen.
No, no, no. What's
listen,
his last,
Wally,
his last
number
year?
One. Listen, no. His last year.
It wasn't Phillip Rivers. His last
check
year.
Check the stats, Ray.
Check the stats.
Check the stats.
Because he was his backup. He was his backup for like 2 years. That's why I knew he was backup for 2 years. He was his backup for about 2 years. So last year
no,
wasn't.
So this,
Ray,
so
check
listen,
stats.
No, this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is after that third year, they thought that his play wasn't sufficient enough. That's why they drafted his replacement.
I agree, but his last year was a playoff year. His last
might be,
year.
It might be.
That's all I'm saying. His last year. So Drew Brees was a playoff quarterback. His last year, because you're right. The year they drafted Rivers, they had a bad year. So, but they still say, okay, we're going to have Rivers be the backup. Brees still he played well. For 2 years after that, RG3 has shown us nothing after his first year. Absolutely nothing.
Well, you can have the built-in excuse that he was injured the second year,
all I'm
which is everyone.
All I'm saying is, all I'm saying, the dude has showed us to be, within after his first, his rookie year, after that rookie year, call it injury or whatever, he has not been productive. And not even just productive, he's been a bad quarterback. That's the thing. It's not if he was showing us something being a good quarterback, it'd be totally different. He has shown us to be a bad NFL quarterback. That's my problem. You can't say, okay, a bad quarterback. Okay, I still see it. He's been a bad quarterback. I like Vince Young. Ray will carry me. I like Vince Young. Vince Young's rookie year.
Vince Young was a terrible
quarterback. Look. Vince Young took his team to be 8-8. But that team was terrible. Huh. But that team was looking right. But seriously, but after that point in time.
Not even going there.
Exactly. Yeah. He got to the point. They were horrible. All
right, well.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, RG3 has shown us to be a bad quarterback. So it goes back to this. Like, what have you seen to say, okay. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to. And this is, you know, I'll go against myself in this regard. I don't like to say, okay, it's over for somebody. But I'm just saying, what with my eyesight, for what I've seen, what I'm seeing, you're bad. So for me to come out and say, like, yeah, I still have faith he's going to be good. That's just blind faith. That's blind loyalty.
They were 9-7 in his last year.
Yeah, that was a playoff. Was that a playoff year? I believe was that a playoff year for him?
It doesn't look like it, my friend. 9-7 doesn't sound like playoffs to me.
Back then, 9-7 is a playoff year. Like 9-7.
I don't think it was a playoff year. I mean, I don't think it was a playoff year.
12-4 the year before that. He made the Pro Bowl the year before that.
Yeah, 9-7.
Third in the AFC West, did not qualify for playoffs.
Okay,
right.
9-7 is a good record. That's towards he's towards his.
But it wasn't playoffs.
But it was a good year though. 9-7.
But could you admit that you were wrong?
I was wrong about the playoffs. No, I was wrong about the playoff portion.
I'm saying so. No.
I appreciate
that.
I was wrong about the playoff portion.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No. I was wrong about the playoff portion, but I was right about the argument though. So I'm good. I'm cool. The argument.
I think you're right.
No, I'm totally right about the argument.
Okay. I mean,
I'll take a 12-4. Look, I'll take a 12-4 record, 9-7 record over a what?
Listen.
Over 2 years in a row, over a what? I'll take that. And a year when you have offensive guns galore with DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Alfred Morris. Yeah, I'll take that. I'm good with mine.
Yeah, call us. Change that DA, that game six. That's still the email. Because, I mean, this is episode 200. This is classic Wally. You know, he puts up a good argument, but he's always epically wrong about something. I was thinking about
epically,
that before I came over. Just reflected.
Wrong.
Like
one. Like, that was epically wrong. 9-7
was,
is a playoff.
No, because you were so.
No, I was adamant about
your
a playoff.
Argument.
Look, I was talking about the playoff part, and I was right about the playoff part, which is the 12-4
listen,
year. I got confused.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. You're usually, like, epically wrong. Like, I was thinking the other day, just watching Kevin Durant special, you said that.
No, don't talk about that stuff.
You
stop,
said
hey,
that
stop.
Michael Beasley would be a better player. I mean, you were arguing. Like,
yeah, I
Michael
sure
Beasley
did.
Michael Beasley will outdo Kevin Durant.
Hell so. Yeah, I said that.
That's what I'm saying. You're a knowledgeable guy. I respect your opinion. That was a great argument on your part, but you were epically wrong. That overshadows what you just said.
Was
that was incredible.
No, I was totally right. It doesn't matter.
All right,
like,
let's keep the show moving.
Bad.
Let's keep the show moving.
9-7 is not
episode
bad.
200, man.
Episode 200.
How are you redirecting me, man?
I'm sorry. My bad.
Blame it on Will. Hashtag blame it on Will, man.
I want to give my guy, you know, he's visiting the studio. I want to give him more time to talk.
Cult-like following. Colt McCoy.
What, you want to say something?
Are we going to skip the Geno Smith argument?
I
go to commercial
so.
Break. Thanks, because that was ridiculous.
I would say another epically wrong moment. I know you ain't talking, right?
I'm never
wrong. You epically wrong at times.
Never.
I
may be wrong 15% of the time, but.
No, you're wrong. So you're wrong a lot, too.
I said two. All right, that's the first stage, you know, admitting guilt, being accountable.
You're wrong too, sir.
Sometimes.
What?
I'm epically right. I'm never epically
wrong.
No,
that's false. I just can't think of it right now.
I can name some times where I've been like,
Coach, you got great memory. I can't remember everything you remember.
I've never just been epically wrong where I'm like arguing like to the death of him. Like, shit.
But that's because that's my demeanor. I'm always demonstrative with stuff like that.
Okay. We agree that Washington needs help.
Yes,
let's finish on the consensus.
Yeah. I think we all agree to that. It's other than Juju.
How about you, Ju?
That we need like Black Jesus to be quarterback again. So I don't really know anymore.
Like I said, it starts from the top. Am I saying Dan Snyder needs to go? But we need something. We need change.
Broken record.
We need change.
Starts from the top.
I like Abe Pollin.
Starts from the
top. Abe Pollin. He changed the name. You know, when it was controversial, bullets back when crime was heavy in DC. So it's time to change the name. Change. Sell the team, bro. But he won't do it because he's all about making money.
They could change the name.
He's all about making money.
Starting thing Native Americans,
which is why he splash. Which is why he splashes the big names all the time. He trades draft picks because he's all about bread. Get Johnny Football here. Let's
Get
make
who?
Some money. That's Johnny Football. Let's sell some Johnny Football jerseys. Dan Snyder will be happy. He'll do the money sign in front of like a reservation somewhere.
Why we talk about Daniel Snyder? like he's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is like far worse than Daniel Snyder.
You know what? I don't like any of these owners. I only like my own owner. Arthur Blank, always on the field, and then he's attending press conferences. Come on, man. Give us a break.
Well, I'll say this in their defense. If you paid that much money, and it's something that's yours, you're definitely going to be hands-on with it.
I like the fact that he is wanting to build a new stadium in the district. I will say that. That's the only good thing I would say about Dan Snyder. And the only reason some of the higher-named Redskins, Daryl Green, I guess, is a good example, are still on his side is because he takes care of these guys. You know what I mean? To a large degree. I don't mean financially, but he does a lot for former players still, you know, even though it's not always in the media.
Yeah,
Brian Mitchell was ready to trash him until, you know, he was rehired.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and putting a ring of honor.
Exactly. You can Google it.
I like Brian Mitchell.
LeVar Arrington will give you the real lowdown, Dan Snyder. So will people like
he's salty.
Riggo.
That dude's salty.
Riggo.
LeVar Arrington too salty.
Come on now. Riggo is a fan favorite.
No, Riggo's real. Like,
Riggo will
LeVar a little salty, though. I can't go with LeVar. He a little salty because he got benched.
CP, he's got a he's
CP's
got a,
cool with us.
Of course he is.
Yeah, he's cool with me. You know what I'm saying? Team Snyder, man. I'm Team Snyder.
A few years back, Riggo, what did he say?
I'm Republican because of being a Washington Redskins, man. I'm Team Snyder all the way.
He said it is. Why?
Because he's cool to me, man. It's like, if I was an owner, I would waste so much money on like try on the best players, period. I would try to do it all the time. I do it in Madden. I do it in Madden. Like I used to do it back in the day. Deion, a rack of money.
Without a salary cap, if he could have been the Yankees, but there's a salary cap.
Unfortunately, yeah. So there's always a way around it, though.
Like I said, next year he'll have a lot of money to spend, as has been said, and then he'll have draft picks. Let's see what Jay Gruden does next year. We always get the brother around here anyway. So he's not going to hire Rex Ryan. He's going to hire Rob Ryan next year. You know
what?
Right?
Nah, I want Rex. I don't know what this is.
That's what's trending.
I want Rex.
Yeah, we'll see.
I want Rex Ryan. I want Rex Ryan to be the head coach.
I would take Rex Ryan in Atlanta as the head coach.
Yeah, I think he would be a good coach for y'all, too.
Defensively, that's what we need, somebody who
can. Aren't y'all in the first place?
Yeah. I don't even know
who we can be. Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Julio Jones.
I'm not laughing.
It's so
just
funny because we should be like I don't think we'd be first place in that division, right?
Yeah, we wouldn't be. We'd be third. We'll be third.
No, Carolina's got a tie, so they'll still be in front of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Half game. And you lost to Tampa.
26-11.
Yeah. So did Pittsburgh, though, so don't feel too. But you know what?
I appreciate you
being here, Ju, because after, you know, the Redskins beat Dallas, you on a high. Called me and made a joke about the Falcons. Like, yeah, you're going to call me.
Did you really?
He was like, next time you call me, Falcons are
going
to win
Super Bowl. You like that dude? You always that dude, man. Oh, yeah. I swear, man.
The green turtle guy, you know. Hey, you're high five,
always
folks.
Always that
you know?
Dude, man.
All right, rounds on me for a touchdown. So. Yeah.
You always that dude.
One thing, man, I tell you, I'm a very loyal fan, but it's dwindling. But I'll still go to green turtle.
Whatever. You ain't going nowhere.
I still rock my jacket, my hat, my socks.
So, real quick, I know you'll bring RG3 back. Would you bring RG3 if you were the organization, would you bring him back?
Yeah, I would bring him back. Absolutely. Why not? He's still under contract for one more year.
Absolutely. So put a muzzle on him.
So does he compete for the starting job, though?
Yes.
He's not Mark Sanchez. He's RG3. Come on.
Mark Sanchez? He's doing a great job.
Right now, yeah.
In that system.
I know. Look, I can't hear you. You don't have a microphone, Harold Jewett.
Come on.
He's in the system. If RG was in that system, he'll be successful.
It's RG. No, Robert.
Oh no, he's hey, he's still Bob, RG3. He's still
Bob.
RG3.
Bob, he's Bob.
He's Robert.
No, nah, he's RG3.
Well, two. When has he been RG3?
He's been. He's
What's the last time he's been RG3?
What quarterback?
Ninja Run.
Okay,
Run Ninja listen, Run.
What quarterback do you know has been has had major injuries like RG has?
Dan Marino, but that's okay though.
Dan Marino was a he was a different.
No, you asked me a question. I just answered it. That's all.
Okay,
there's a lot of quarterbacks who've had who's had substantial injuries, but
like back to back.
Yeah, a couple of quarterbacks have.
Okay, okay, granted, but this is his first.
You talking
years.
About ACL and you talking about the ACL
and ankle. And ankle. And had to take parts of his knee to add to his other knee. I mean,
you doing the ankle? I'm not talking about the ACL. The ACL thing.
Okay,
but he's talking ankle. About ankle. The ankle was whatever either. So, but yeah, right. Go ahead.
Like I said, he lost confidence. He his mental game wasn't
there. Uncharted like, territories in so many ways for him. You know what? And he's in a bad organization. Just let's be
but
real.
But you know what? To be the whole mental thing, as an excuse, that like do film work. There are a lot of guys
he's not
who
working.
Like there's
yeah,
a lot
he's
of
not
guys.
Not working hard enough.
So don't use excuses. Like there's a lot of you've been using a lot of excuses for him. Like he's hurt. All right, if he was scared to plant or whatever, like even Tom Brady. When Tom Brady tore his ACL. And came back. He wasn't the same Tom Brady. He wasn't. But he's still effective enough because he's smart enough to get to know how to get rid of the ball fast and things of that sort. I don't know. What you laughing at?
Because you just said the counter argument to that about Trent Williams earlier.
No. I'm not talking about.
Because Trent Williams, the result of his miscues this past weekend was because he was what? Injured. So now RG3
Tom Brady
use the same.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're coming off an ACL. I'm talking about coming off an ACL. You're still fully. You're 100% in terms of when you tell your ACL, you're 100%. You come off that 1 year. You're 100%. But it's mentally. Like, you don't trust planting your leg. Trent Williams was really hurt. Like, I'm talking about mentally. When you tell your ACL, you know, like, I mean, I don't know. Well, you had a knee injury before. So when you turn your knee up, you can be 100%, but you just don't trust your body. You don't trust your knee. I'm saying Trent Williams was totally hurt. That's totally different. Tom Brady, when he came back from the ACL, he didn't trust his knee. He couldn't plant the same. His accuracy was off because he didn't trust it. You're talking about what RG3, it's not a physical thing this season. It's a mental thing. He had time to sit out and pay it and take mental reps or look at tape and look who's open. He's missing wide open wide receivers. On a regular basis.
And don't forget, he took great notes in that Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Game.
And you said, and you see, yeah, exactly. You saw him on Monday night taking notes. You're thinking to yourself, like, oh, when he comes back, he's gonna be a G. Like he's thinking out here. He's thinking right now. It hasn't shown on the field. So I'm talking about your excuses when you, like, in terms of your excuses about RG3. I'm looking at the mental aspect. People wide open. You're not finding open receivers. That's it. And when you hear anything about Gruden talking about not knowing to take a 5-step drop or 3-step drop, that's a joke. What? What's that? Commercial.
Yeah, we have been going for a long time. So when we come back, we're going to talk the rest of the NFL and make our picks for fantasy football.
Yeah, as soon as I can cue the music. It's the Urban Sports Sing.
For ages.
Your dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true. But I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this that's in my lap, no looking back. Spaceships don't come equipped with rear view mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pip. I'm glad it's night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon. High jump the broom like a preemie out the womb. My partner yelling too soon. Don't do it. Reconsider. Read some litter. Sure. On the
All right, back from break. Here to talk about some NFL notables. we gotta rush the show on, man. It's been a long segment. Y'all get me mad about Redskins and stuff like that. Cowboys. Thursday Thanksgiving game. They got their butts whipped by the Philadelphia Eagles. Question: are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? In the NFC, period.
Well, listen, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but for a while now, I've been saying in all three facets of the game, special team, offense, and defense, this is the team that's put it together the most. You know, on third down, I think, like, things that people think are important defensively, on third down, they get off the field. They pressure the quarterback. They create turnovers. On offense, we all know this team is very prolific in the run game, and it's almost becoming like you could put anyone back there at quarterback, and Chip Kelly's going to put together a game plan that's going to play to their strong suits. And then special teams, they're able to get touchdowns on special teams. So I still do think, even though the Packers are, you know, that offense has been playing lights out the past couple of weeks, I still do think that the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, in my opinion.
I like the point that Chris Berman made recently on ESPN, that you send the Cowboys to New York on a Sunday night in a rivalry game against the Giants, and then they have to turn around and play another rival on an early Thursday game. That wasn't fair. I think the schedule makers definitely messed up with that one. So the Cowboys didn't get a fair shake. I fully expect Dallas to go and beat Philly in Philly when they play in a few weeks.
I'm going to have to disagree. Just with the eye test and the games I've been watching over the year, I'm going to have to go with Green Bay. I think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC right now.
Was that the question?
Oh, NFC East.
I said the NFC, you're right.
NFC. You said the NFC. Okay, I'm just making sure. Just clarifying. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, okay. Right, good.
I didn't answer the question. Right. Sorry.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Packers. Granted, if Packers had home field advantage, Packers would probably win. If Eagles had home field advantage, Eagles might win. So I'm going to have to do a toss-up and give it to the Packers, just going by the eye test and what they did this past weekend to New England.
Well, this is a tough one. I like the Detroit Lions, to be honest with you. Yeah, I do. I like Detroit Lions. I like the defense because they play defense, and they got their offense is more dynamic. And the Packers, they blow teams out on the road. I mean, at home, not on the road, excuse me, at home. Detroit, you can always travel with a good defense. That Packers defense isn't good. The Eagles defense is, just because the offense is a defense that can get tired because they worry about having more offensive plays, period. So that defense is on the field a lot. So in my opinion, I like the Detroit Lions because I like what they bring defensively and offensively.
Seattle murdered Green Bay.
You know what? Seattle, why am I doing Seattle, too?
In the beginning of the season, they murdered Green Bay.
Exactly, I agree.
And trust me, Seattle, it does not matter where they play come playoff time. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter. I mean, home field advantage would be a plus. At this point, they could still get it for the simple fact they have a weak division.
Who has the weak division?
Seattle does.
That division ain't weak.
Why not? Arizona's, they're done. Look at their roster. They lost to the Falcons, for goodness sakes. Look at their roster.
At Atlanta, though, right?
Drew Stanton, that quarterback.
At Atlanta? I wouldn't call Arizona weak, though.
Honey Badger went out the game.
San Fran's weak, though, to you? I mean, the St. Louis Rams aren't weak. That's a
San
strong
Fran
division.
Is a team that's imploding.
Yeah, I agree with Come that. But it's not a weak division. I wouldn't call it a weak division.
Right now, currently, speaking
of Atlanta's in a weak division. Like, Atlanta's in a weak division. You can't call the NFC West a weak division. That's a weak division.
Why not?
I won't say weak. I'll say it's a division that's right for the opening for Seattle.
Yeah, just
because if you look at
now,
if you look, like he said, Arizona with Drew Stanton, they stumble to the finish line, and then San Francisco, that team's imploding. Anytime you got the owner sending tweets during the game,
St. Louis beat the Broncos. They may be over 500. They may be at 500.
They're not at 500.
Exactly.
Oh, I said maybe. I didn't say what. So I want you to say I was emphatic with that one.
Dude, did you not just see what happened to San Fran? Did you see San Fran play the Redskins?
Yeah, they beat us. They did what they supposed to do.
Barely.
They beat us. I don't really know. They did what they supposed to do. They beat us. I mean, I don't. Florida State barely beats teams, but they're a good team, right? I don't get that they know how to win games. That's how I look at it. I mean, the Niners beat how many quality teams? They beat a lot. They beat
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
They beat the Eagles.
They beat the Eagles, which is a good team.
Eagles are quality football team.
You know what I'm saying?
Who else?
I don't know the whole schedule.
They beat the NFC East, basically.
Easily. Yeah. They beat everybody in the NFC East. Who else
did they beat? Doggone it. They beat they lost some bad games, too.
They beat the Rams.
They beat the Rams. The Rams are a good team. The Rams were in the NFC.
The Rams lost to like Buffalo, didn't they?
Buffalo wins games. If the Rams were in the NFC South, they would probably be the number one team in the NFC South.
That's quite easy to see. Tell me something that's
but they're credible. A decent team. They're a decent team.
Go ahead, take a shot to the South. But y'all lost to the daggone.
Look. I'm not taking a shot to your team. Look, listen to me.
Yes, you are.
No, I take shots to my own team. I think they suck. I've already said the Redskins suck.
That's my point.
So, that's what I'm saying.
The 49ers, you saw what
they
happened.
Don't suck.
The Colts set records on y'all.
Look, they could barely score. I agree with you. Look, I'm not even arguing with you.
So the 49ers stink.
No, they don't stink, though.
And Arizona's how do they stink? Injured.
You can't say the 49ers stink. To me, the Niners will make the playoffs.
Nah, I don't think the Niners make the playoffs this year.
You heard it here. I think the Niners will make the playoffs.
I don't want to be emphatic either.
I'm calm. The Niners make the playoffs.
Did I not say that you make some good points, but when you're wrong, you
listen. I'm calm. The Niners will make the playoffs.
Nah, I don't think they make the playoffs. I think that thing is blowing up.
I will not even argue with you.
Okay.
The Niners will make the playoffs.
Okay. That's all. We'll just keep it going.
Look, Detroit is what? Second in their division, correct?
Yeah. Detroit's a good team.
Exactly. So how the Detroit 49ers going to make the playoffs, man?
Look. The Niners make the playoffs.
Okay. Just leave it at that.
They're in the hunt. They're still in the hunt.
Yeah, look. They're on the graphic, right?
You know what? Listen, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm going to record saying I'm not saying
there's two teams that make the or two teams that right. There are two teams to get the wild card team. Yeah, exactly. So I make the playoffs. Seattle right now has the division. Arizona, it's going to be between Arizona.
Cowboys,
the Cowboys are not making the playoffs. It's December. It's happening. They're starting to lose right now. It's happening. It's happening right now as we speak.
Well, I mean, I've said throughout the whole year. Give me until December, then I'll tell you if the Cowboys will make the playoffs.
33-10 at home. It's embarrassing.
They played a game.
And Brady didn't make
3 days later after they played a Sunday night rivalry game on the road. Look, that's not fair.
I know it's not. But see, 33-10 at home? I know what you're saying. I was expecting them to at least put up a little fight. 33-10? I mean, Buffalo, even though they played the Jets, had that bad situation, and they put up 30-some-odd points on the Jets. You know, the Jets suck. But still, they put 30-some-odd points on the Jets with the whole just having to move and this, that, and the other. That wasn't fair to Buffalo.
But that was something that happened by result of inclement weather. This was pre-scheduled.
No, I'm saying they played on the field though. But they still played it on the field.
But they got an extra day of rest. What's your point?
No, but to beat 33-10, I don't care what an extra day of rest. 33-10 is embarrassing.
Buffalo got an extra day of rest and going to Detroit. That's my point.
But still, the travel. You had a home game to travel. I mean, you're losing that advantage. It's a home game.
Not a big deal.
You're losing your home advantage. That's stressful.
You know the
again.
You
know
the rigors of the NFL. If you have to play a game 3 days later.
While he's calm, all I'm telling you, sir, is that 33-10 on Thursday, on Thanksgiving.
Let's check the rematch. I bet it will be much more.
Oh, no, I guarantee the rematch, they're getting blown out again. Because the Dallas defense.
There we go. I love it.
It came back. They're getting blown out again. They're getting blown out. The Dallas defense is some trash. It's some trash. It is some trash. Can they stop DeMarco Murray? It's a question. But the Dallas defense is some trash. So they'll score. The Eagles will score. Like that will happen.
Listen,
the Eagles will score. The Cowboys will lose to the Eagles. The Cowboys remain scheduled. They got the Bears next. If they lose to the Bears on Thursday night, which they should not, because the Bears are garbage. But they lose to the Bears on Thursday night, their season is over. You heard it. Their season is over. Emphatic. You can take that to the bank. 85% emphatic. You can take that to the bank.
Okay. All right.
If they lose to the Bears on Thursday night, emphatic. We take that to the bank. Cash it. This team is not making the playoffs. That team, the Cowboys, are not making the playoffs. They lose the Bears game is a must win. If they lose that game, they're not making the postseason.
Where's the game? In Chicago?
In Chicago.
That's a trap game. That is a trap game. I've never seen one, man. But it's the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. The Bears have the Cowboys number.
Talk about implosion. The Bears are imploding.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your final answer, Ray? You said
Seattle.
Seattle is the best team right now in NFC?
I think so.
Okay. And while you said Detroit?
I like Detroit.
And you will?
Ninja.
Over the Eagles? I'm staying with Philadelphia. I'm staying
Ninja,
with my
pick. You ain't trying. What? You trying to clown me while you're here? what's that supposed to mean?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, Detroit, yeah, they're a good team, but what have they proven?
What you mean? Have they proven? They beat the Packers. What you mean? What have they proven?
I mean, recent years, like going to the playoffs.
No. I'm looking at this season. I'm all about the present.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
So I'm looking at this season right now. Who's the best team? This season?
Are they going to win the division? Though?
Yes, they won the division. They got the Packers again to beat the Packers. They can beat up on the Packers.
They're not
again.
Beating the Packers.
They already beat the Packers.
They're not doing it at home. They're not going to beat them on the road.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. They're not beating them in Lambeau. They're not beating them in Lambeau Field. They're not beating them.
Listen.
Minnesota can beat them too.
Listen, they already beat the Packers. So for right now, I got the one up. They beat the Packers.
Right.
All
right.
So they're good. They beat the Packers. Now if they played the Patriots in Detroit, Detroit would have beat the Patriots. But you know the Packers got to play the Patriots in Lambeau Field, so they got their little advantage. But so anyway, you'll see it happen. They'll beat up on Aaron Rodgers. They'll sack Aaron Rodgers. And they'll take over that division.
No, you said we were right that they cannot beat. Well, that they won't beat the Packers at Lambeau, right?
Who said that?
That's what you said.
No, I didn't say
you
that.
You said you agree.
No. I said they didn't. I said they did not. You asked me, did they beat
no,
them?
No. You said.
Which way? I didn't hear you hear the question
you
correctly.
You said Detroit will not beat.
No, I didn't say that. That's my. I misheard your question.
And you're talking about a Detroit team that struggled against Miami at home.
Look.
A Miami team at home, they struggled against.
You watch Miami?
Yeah, I watched my Miami. They're decent.
They're a good team.
They're good, but they're not.
Why are you clowning on Miami like they're bad?
No, I'm just saying. We're talking about like if you really,
come
really Miami, good teams.
Real with you.
No,
if you will come at me.
To the Cardinals.
That's a good
14
team.
14-6.
So a lot of teams lost the Cardinals.
And then if you're the best team in your division and you go against the best team in the AFC, the Patriots, and you get blown out.
Where? What was that game at?
It was at New England.
So did the Broncos get blown out by New England too? At New England? So would you call the Broncos a Super Bowl team? A Super Bowl contender? No, would you? Would you call them a good team?
The Broncos?
Yeah.
The Broncos are a decent team.
But they got blown out by the Patriots in New England. The Patriots can blow you out at home. To me, the Patriots blow out a lot of teams at home, especially the way they're playing football now. They blew out the Colts in Indy. The Patriots are a really good team. The Patriots, to me, are a legit Super Bowl team.
You lost to Buffalo at home, 17-14.
Buffalo. Balls though. Can you go to Packers losses before you go to Packers losses?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I know they lost to Seattle.
You find it.
No, I can't. I'm not. You bringing everything up. Go ahead.
I'm stating.
Go to the Packers losses real quick. Real quick.
I will.
All right, real quick. They're one game behind. They're one game behind.
They lost three games. They lost to Seattle.
One game behind
Detroit, and what was the other team they lost to?
Detroit's one. The Saints.
And the Saints.
And Green Bay got the Falcons.
Know what?
They're
the Saints.
Lose that game.
The Saints. I'm done with you. And you calling Miami like Miami's a bad. They lost to Miami.
Did they lose to the Saints at home?
They lost
Lambeau?
No, they almost lost to the Saints. They won by luck.
The who?
They won by. They beat Atlanta by luck too. Detroit. They won, right?
They won. You call out my. And I'm gonna go back to Miami. You call out Miami like Miami's garbage. Like they lost to Miami.
That's
Earl,
man.
I know.
What's Miami in their division?
Miami's fighting for playoffs. Yeah, they're fighting
for playoffs. Who's going to win that division? Who wins that division every year?
Dude, what argument is that?
The Packers lost to...
I'm just saying.
It's the Saints.
The Packers lost...
The Saints, we know it's the Saints, the third
to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
They got blown out by the Saints.
And they lost to... Yeah, Saints. That's it.
Nah, they lost one more.
And Detroit.
Yeah.
What are you saying now?
I know I'm right.
Go to the Packers loss.
No, I'm good. I'm glad I lost.
What was the point of that?
No, the point is they lost to a bad team, too. They lost to the Saints. The Saints are a bad team. They're not. The Saints aren't a bad team. They got blown out by the Saints.
They're number one in their division.
By one game.
Well, they're still number one.
By one game.
We know the Saints are good at home, right?
Yeah. By one game. No, I'm referring to you. Like, by one game.
The Saints are good at home.
The Packers are good at home. The Packers are good at home.
Well, the Packers are good everywhere.
They're good at home. Who they play on the road that's tough?
And they beat the Eagles 53-20.
At home.
Don't matter.
Who they beat at on the road that's good?
What team has Detroit
who have they beat?
Look,
look, look, look, look. Who have Nobody. They beat? No. For them to be a dominant, who they beat at home that was, I mean, on the road that was good?
I'll look.
Yeah, please. I'll wait on that one. next, please.
All right, but.
Let's.
They beat the Dolphins.
On the road.
The Dolphins are.
Damn! Damn, got it! I hate this dude.
So much.
Hey, this dude.
Hands up.
Dolphins good. I'll give him that
one. You said you took the Dolphins. You told the Dolphins.
Yeah, he got me.
The Dolphins is cute.
Ah, damn. I'm going to be quiet now. All
right.
Emphatic. Hashtag emphatic.
All right, so.
He's right, though. I was right. He's right about
so,
that.
So,
I hate you so much.
We weren't here for week 12, so week 13, one thing we usually do after each quarter of the season.
Hold up, man. Real quick. I can't stand you, son.
85.
Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
Yeah,
ahead,
we weren't here for week 12, so this past week 13. So one thing we usually do is we reveal three things we learn from each quarter of the season. So, Jew, you got to think of three things you learned from the third quarter of the season. I guess me and Wally will start. Go ahead, Wally.
Why are you putting on me? Like, I don't even – what did I learn? Oh, yeah. RG3 is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
All right, you want to give us all three of them? Or
no, I'm just going to – let me go come back around.
All right. One thing I learned in the third quarter of the season is it's pretty much over for Harbaugh. I think it's imploded. I think it's a situation. It's a toxic situation for him as the coach of the 49ers. And despite all the success he's had, he won't be back next year.
I learned that the NFL will not change their Thanksgiving tradition because the Dagon Lions won their second straight game. Best team in the NFC won their second straight game.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know,
exactly.
But many of us have been advocating for them to be changed. People love to see the Cowboys win or lose on Thanksgiving. That's not going to change. So, good luck. And, hey, shout out to my son. He's going to be watching Detroit and Dallas on Thanksgiving.
God bless that kid.
One thing I've learned, I still think defense wins championships. And even though people are saying San Fran's not that good of a team, Seattle's going to start heating up. I think that defense is going to take control, and they're going to win the division. They're going to, I think, get back to the NFC Championship and might go to the Super Bowl.
Number two for you, Wally.
Just sickening. Number two, people counted out the San Diego Chargers in the second quarter of the season because they were in a losing streak. They came up with another big win. So the Chargers and Phillip Rivers now priming themselves to put themselves in, giving themselves an opportunity to win the AFC West. So I have the Chargers now as a power player in the AFC. So that's the thing I learned in the third quarter of the season.
What I learned is a lot of people labeled the draft class of 2013 the greatest draft class for wide receivers. I think these young rookies have pretty much proven that. You know, you see the play of Calvin Benjamin, Odell Beckham Jr., you see
Sammy Watkins Jr.,
you see Brian Cooks before the injury. So all of those guys in the first round, those wide receivers really showed up, and they only solidified what everyone said about this draft class for wide receivers.
Mike Evans, too.
And Mike Evans, yeah.
I learned that Roger Goodell is not going to be the commissioner for too much longer.
Pound that one, son. Yeah.
I think that – you know, Ray Rice and his wife, especially his wife, speaking out, even though I know he's looking for a job right now and people don't think that's smart. However, I think Roger, his credibility with many of the owners continues to drop. I heard that he still has Kraft and Mara, which is the most important from what I heard. However, I think that these continued PR disasters, and if you look at his track record in handling just unprecedented off the field issues, I think they're going to need someone who's going to come in and work closer with the union and also be very consistent in their disciplinary action. Adrian Peterson is going to play again. That's going to be my next one. I'm sorry, I couldn't go yet. Right.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Even though they're in our division, I think Chip.
Are we going out of order now?
No, this I'm
is
next, dog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Next. You skipped me. See what I mean? I know this is a 200 show. Let me get my shine. Let me get your shine, son.
Shine on, son.
Even though they're, you know, in our division, NFC East, I think Chip Kelly's has proven that you can put any quarterback in their system and it still will be a success. I have not seen anybody really shut down that offense yet. The only people that can really, really shut down their offense is themselves. Mark Sanchez is successively running the offense. Anybody that goes in, you can put Jordan Matthews in, Darren Sproles, whoever. You can put Polk in the back. Anybody, they're just going to run it to a T. So, Chip Kelly, hats off to you. I hate you, but you're doing a great job. So, yeah, that offense is a success right now.
Actually, that's not –
Well, I think 85% of it's true because, like he said, you plug in different.
That term, 85%. Don't use that term here, man.
90% of it's true because if you plug in different players and they still been successful, but you know if you look at what San Francisco did against them,
physical defense.
Physical defensive do give them problems. So number three for you.
Let me add on to Juice's little point, and also into that whole thing. You watch Chip Kelly in the Pac-10, you know. Pac-12, whatever you want to call it now, that, you know, if you play a tough style of defense, it's easy to stop. You got to be a good defense, though. Not one of these little – he'll dominate the poor defenses, like the Redskins.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? If you play like the Seattle Seahawks, he would have a problem with.
He would
have a problem with that type of defense. The last thing I learned – man. Oh, yeah, I know. This is for you, 295 North. Yeah, your Ravens ain't making the playoffs. It's over. The Chargers, they put the coffin. It's done. So, hey, Baltimore, hands stand up. I don't mean that in another way, but stand up, Baltimore. Or sit down. It's over. No playoffs for you.
My last point and what I learned is that based on Ray Rice's reinstatement, Adrian Peterson will play and Dan Snyder will go after him with draft picks. Trust me.
That's a joke. That's not even serious. You're not even serious.
If Adrian Peterson becomes available, which is likely, you don't think the Redskins
will not at all inquire
about what it's going to take to land him?
Nah, not at all.
If he becomes available, I love Adrian Peterson, but not at all. If he becomes available.
Not at all. I love him, but I not at all. They got other words. Not at all.
I mean, I could see them making a call.
An inquiry. Why not?
Not at all.
Daniel Snyder.
No, it's not. He hasn't been doing that in a while, man. He has done it since.
He traded draft picks to get RG3.
We already had that discussion. We're doing that again.
And the last thing I learned is there's going to be a team. It's going to be unprecedented, but the team in the NFC South will probably go to the playoffs at 6-10. It looks like it's a team that's going to be 6-10. That's going to
cap.
Yeah, 6-10. I'm not even saying 7-9.
When it's 2-5-17, so both of them going to finish the season 1-4. Is that what you're saying?
It looks like it. They playing that terrible. You see the way they playing? Have you seen the way they played?
All right, let's look at New Orleans schedule.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you do his, and then we can talk more about it.
Come on now, the Saints are going to win a couple.
Not that long.
They might beat the Falcons for that matter. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
They still play Tampa and Carolina.
Come on, Reggie.
Yeah. Last thing I've learned, Jerry Jones, he's always going to be in the headlines. Any statement he makes is going to make it to the headlines. Him saying that, basically, hey, if y'all don't want RG, I'll take him. You know, so Jerry Jones, if RG does hit the market, you will see him playing with a star on his helmet.
He can go there. Go. Want you here anyway?
You'll be sick if he goes.
No, I'll be happy.
Oh, he's gonna come back and end it.
He gonna come back and eat y'all alive.
Under what offense?
Listen to the same schedule, you guys.
What offense?
Panthers, Bears, Bears. They asked Chicago, but still, it don't matter. Falcons, Buccaneers. Come on, 6-10.
I said 6-10, 7-9. 6-10 or 7-9.
The Bears.
I said 6-10 or 7-9.
Dangerous team. The Bears got a nice offense. They're a dangerous team.
Yeah, that is a dangerous team.
That's a dangerous team.
Now the Bears are dangerous. He just said.
I mean, offensively,
the Cowboys lose to the Bears. Come on,
yeah, I know. I know what I mean.
I think offensively,
they're dangerous.
They have. I mean, because you got to think about it. Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey.
You're a jerk.
Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte. Martellus Bennett. So they have weapons. I'm not saying that they're a great team, but I just think
they're like the 49ers. They have the personnel, but they're imploding. The Bears' credibility was just, you know, shot down on this show just not too long ago.
The Bears are a dangerous team. Yeah, a dangerous team.
So if Cowboys lose, that's normal, right? Because they're a dangerous team.
Because Cowboys always lose to the Bears, so yeah, it should be normal. It's December. Any loss in December for the Cowboys is normal.
So the Packers' victory on the road against the Bears is credible now because they're a dangerous team.
They're a dangerous team offensively, yeah. They can't play defense, though. They can't play they're a bad team collectively. They're just dangerous on offense.
That's Atlanta, then. Atlanta's a dangerous team.
Oh, yeah, your team's dangerous offensively. Defensively is a different problem. All right, let's go to the picks. Wally, myself, I'm 25-22. Will is 21-17. All right, let's go to week 14 picks.
Will's dangerous.
Yeah, Will's dangerous.
I am. offensively when it comes to picking, making these picks.
That burst. You said the same thing. All right, first game, Steelers versus Bengals.
I guess I'm going first. I'm going to take. I'm going to take the Bengals.
It's in
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
I'm taking the Bengals. The Bengals are starting to look, starting to heat up again.
You want to go, Jew?
I'm going to go for the upset. I'm going to take the Steelers.
The upset? That's what's up,
yeah,
man.
See, the safe pick, obviously, is Cincinnati. But the Steelers are a weird team. How they lose to Tampa and New Orleans, but then they can beat, you know, an upper echelon team.
And they lose to the Jets and stuff.
Smash the Colts.
But I don't like the direction the Steelers are going in.
Smash the Colts.
Yeah, they did smash the Colts. So.
Because he hates luck. Because he's an RG3 fan.
I'm going to go safe. I'm going to take Cincy, even though my heart wants to, you know, go for the upset.
That's called a smart pick.
I'll take Cincy.
I'm going with Cincy. You can't go with anybody. You can't go with Jew anyway. He's bad luck. All right, Ravens versus Dolphins. Ravens versus Dolphins. I'm going to go. I'll start first. I'll go with the Dolphins. The Ravens, that loss to the Chargers, really hurt their season. The game is in Miami. No, didn't the Ravens play the Dolphins already?
No.
They didn't?
No.
Okay, good. I didn't mess up. I'm going to the Dolphins.
I'm going to go with the Ravens for the reason that that Dolphins, they're very reliant on that run. On the run, the Ravens are tough against the run. Also, I think the Ravens, they have a pretty good secondary that can they force. I mean,
that secondary is horrible, man.
They got some pretty strong corners. Their corners play
pretty strong. Jimmy Smith. They ain't good. That's why they lost their Chargers for real.
Well, I'm still going to give me the Ravens.
All right, I got your back. I didn't want you to say all that. I had your back. I didn't want to hurt your credibility.
I'm going to take the Ravens in this game.
Oh, Baltimore Ninja.
The reason I'm picking them because they had a hard loss last week. They're actually supposed to win that San Diego game. But they're going to bounce back. John Harbaugh, he's a real good coach, and we're going to go with I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I'll take Baltimore as well.
Everybody going with the bad luck, dude. All right. Cardinals versus the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs. This is easy. Easy for me. I'm going with Chiefs. That team, that Cardinals team is going to limp to the playoffs.
I feel you. Go ahead. Next.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't trust Drew Stanton. I don't trust Drew Stanton on the road against a Chiefs team, hard-nosed D. Andy Reid have a good game plan against them. Even though Cardinals have a good secondary, I don't think they'll be able to stop the running game of the Chiefs. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Where are you next?
You know what? It depends on Tyrann Mathieu if he comes back.
He's not? No, he's hurt. He's not
coming back.
He's got the surgery.
Because the Chiefs have not thrown a touchdown to a wide receiver yet, which says that
– low in the box.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Just shut Jamal Charles down and play it tough. I'm going with the Chiefs, though. I can't pick against them. You know, I can't pick Drew Stanton.
Can't pick with you. I'm going to the Cardinals.
And shout out to Wally's boy, Patrick Peterson, who he says is the best cornerback who's been getting ate up all season.
Yeah, he's going to get eight. I still like the dude.
Emphatically wrong.
He don't got Earl. He don't got Earl Thomas. So it is what it is. He don't have Earl Thomas.
Hey, Earl call Thomas, it whatever you want to call it.
And that dude don't even play man. That's real talk like that.
Man, call it whatever you want to call it. Eagles versus Seahawks.
The best cornerback is Revis, Darrell Revis anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
Darrell Revis is killing. He got beat by Jordy on
that
one.
He's gaining weight, though.
He looks fat, though. I know, he looks chubby.
All right.
He does look fat. Eagles versus Seahawks? Eagles. I'll go first. Who you going to pick, Jew?
The safe pick would be the Seahawks. I mean, they're pretty much unbeatable at home. I mean, they did get beat by Dallas this year, but
it's in Philly though.
No, it's in Seattle. I thought it was in. It's in Philly. Yeah,
it's in Philly. Man.
It's in Philly.
It's in Philly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, thank you.
Seattle. This will be a test. I'm gonna be honest. This might be an NFC preview. Championship preview.
No, it's not. Now.
We're gonna see. Let me finish. Seahawks have been proven to be good against defense. Offenses like this, but I don't know. I'm gonna go with the Eagles on this. I'll go with the Eagles.
I'm agree with you. I'm going with the Eagles. I think Jordan Matthews has a good game going across the middle against Seattle.
I'm rocking with Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks in this game.
So you decided to change your pick?
Yeah, I was going to go with the Eagles at first, but now I'm going with Seattle.
give the listeners some insight into why you decided to change your pick.
Years ago, again, we went to a casino. I want to speak of this casino with this with this individual. Yeah, it's closed now. With this individual name we call Jew. And we were hot. Me, a couple of us, we were hot at this table playing craps. We were hot. All right. Then all of a sudden, this one individual named Jew walked to this table and was around us. And all of a sudden, the table got cold. And from that point on, we deemed Jew bad luck. So when Jew picks a team or whatever, tends to rub that bad luck on my team. He goes like he go to a Redskins game. Wally went to a Redskins game. What happened? We lost. Wally, I remember him and Ray went to a Redskins game together. Jew was bragging. The Redskins were up. I told you, hey, be quiet. Don't be bragging to Ray. Don't do anything. That's bad luck. Don't do it. He goes talking. He hears talking trash to Ray. Like, all of a sudden, the Falcons come back and win the game. Ray's the victor.
Vic played that game, too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Jew, bad luck.
All right.
I'm not cool with that.
Thanks for giving everybody a little backstory. So let's pick this last game, Patriots versus Chargers. Jew, I'll let you go first.
Start first.
Patriots, I'm going to go with them. They had a bad outing against Green Bay on the road against San Diego. I believe Tom Brady and Belichick. Yeah, I said Belichick. They will bounce back. And they'll beat the Chargers.
I'm agreeing with you. Give me the Patriots.
I'm taking the Chargers at home.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers at home. And Phillip Rivers, I trust, man. I trust Phillip Rivers. That's all.
All right. You know, week 14, a lot of people in their fantasy football leagues, it's playoff times. Playoffs are starting.
I ain't make the playoffs, so.
Yeah, make the playoffs. Well, yeah, I'm making the playoffs in both my leagues. So, obviously, you'll want to listen to me when it comes to fantasy football week 14 pick. I'm going to go with someone that's all under the radar.
Y'all never prepared for that.
Nah, I'm going to go with Delanie Walker, tight end for the Titans. He's on my team. He didn't have a great game last week, week 13. He bounces back this week with a big week.
Oh, so I'm next?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go with – who we playing? I'm going to go with the St. Louis Rams defense. Why? They're going against the Washington Redskins. I see multiple sacks, some interceptions. No, a fumble, because Colt doesn't throw interceptions. Some fumbles. And if they're lucky, they hurt Colt McCoy and get RG3 in the game. There's multiples. That's more sacks. That's like 10 sacks in the game. So I'm going to St. Louis Rams defense.
I'm going to go to my rival. I'm rocking with Kenny Stills. He's coming on. Wide receiver, young, Oklahoma. Drew Brees is looking for him. They got Carolina at home. I think Kenny Stills has a big day.
I'm a homer. I'm going to go with Jordan Reed. I think he gets out on St. Louis.
That's an easy one.
Nah, that's not. I mean, whatever.
Would you go with Jordan Reed? Would you go with Jordan Reed? If they had RG3 was the quarterback?
No.
Probably, exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No.
And though you have faith in this dude to be the quarterback next season.
Yeah. Not at this point in time. I'll go with Jordan Reed. I think he'll get at least 9 catches. I'll say 100.
He had 10 last game.
9 catches, about 105.
We're talking about you, though. You know what I mean? So be careful.
All right.
Put that bad luck rubs on you.
So good luck to all those people out there.
Good luck. You're using good luck right after you. Like, really?
Yeah, I'm using good luck. Good luck to all those people in fantasy football playoffs. we're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking NBA. And anyone who's been a listener to the show knows we dedicated this section of the show to our fallen comrade, Big Ron Mega. So, Mega NBA when we come back.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't. Because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
Time you hear this, I would have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap games, nibble is mine, for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is, or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you c***s are slick. Poppin' s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rockin' s*** who you t- try to kid. Flip you the opposite, you stay the same. Backwards is still c***. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall sat busted black, lustre cause he couldn't cut, mustard muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing. Woke up from that buzzing, now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzards circled around his head, waiting for him to drop dead. Was it, or was it cause them bitches wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now, cause
this one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters. A sky full of lighters.
By the time you hear this, I'll probably already be outie. I advance like going from toting. I ain't going and buying 4 or 5 with the homies, the Iron Man Audi. My daddy told me, slow down, boy, you're going to blow it. And I ain't got to stop to beat a minute to tell Shady I love him the same way that he did Dr. Dre on the chronic. Tell him how real he is, or how high I am, or how I would kill for him to know it. I cried plenty tears. My daddy got a bad back, so it's only right that I write till he can march right into that post office and tell him to hang it up. Now his career is LeBron's jersey in 20 years. I stopped when I'm at the very top. You spit on me on your way up. It's about to be a scary drop. Cause what goes up must come down. You going down, I'm something you don't wanna see. Like a box. Every hour, happy hour now. Life is wacky now. Used to have the cat to get the. Now I'm just to cast me out. I'm classic cow. Always down for the catch weight. Like a packy out. Y'all are doomed. I remember when T-Pain ain't wanna work with me. My car starts itself, parks itself in auto-tune. Now Bruno can show his ass without the MTV Awards gag.
You and I know what it's like to be kicked down for some fight. But tonight we're alright. So hold up the lights, let it shine. Cause this one's for you.
Episode 200 continues. Ray Rogers leading the charge. Mr. 85. My man Harold Jewett is in the building. The Washington Wizards, NBA. It's time to talk about them. The number two team in line in the DMV. First is the Nationals, then it's the Wizards, then the Redskins.
Whatever. Don't do that. Don't do that live.
Because we know the Redskins are falling. And falling hard, baby.
They're still number one team that's in this era. That's not changing. Period.
The Wizards had back-to-back wins after getting blown out by Cleveland, and they beat Miami, LeBron's former team, last night. Thoughts on that game?
Go ahead. Did any of y'all see it? I caught the game.
I did see it.
That was a good intro, bro. That was a good intro.
That was an excellent intro. Yeah. I missed this dude, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm gonna cry, man, I missed this dude.
This Wizards team is doing what traditionally strong teams do. They're beating up on teams that are inferior to them. And they're starting to put games together. I think now they're what, 11-5?
Yeah,
number
11-5.
One in the Southeast. It's
two in the whole Eastern Conference.
Yeah, number two in the whole Eastern Conference. And we all know with DeMar DeRozan going down in Toronto, this is the prime time for them to really, you know, establish themselves as the number two or number three team in the Eastern Conference. This team is consistently getting strong play from all their veterans. And, you know, John Wall, to me, in my opinion, is playing like the best, at least the best point guard in the Eastern Conference.
We have actually, yeah, go ahead. Continue, go ahead. You good?
I mean,
no, we have a topic about who's the best point guard.
Yeah, so I think John Wall, he's playing like the best point guard in the Eastern Conference to me thus far.
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, what you want from your point guard, someone who's a leader, someone who's responsible for providing wins
and defense too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can debate it a little bit later, Ray, but okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Specific to the Heat game, they limited their turnovers. If you watch the game against the Hawks, and by the way, John Wall got his butt handed to him by George Teague.
Yeah, I know you told me about
that one. And the thing is, John Wall has too many turnovers, especially on fast breaks. It's like sometimes he's too fast for his own good. Rasul Butler stood out to me against the Heat last night. He played that role that Trevor Ariza would have played last year. You know, somebody who you close your eyes when they shoot, but the ball was dropping for him. I think he was motivated playing against his old team, but he played probably the biggest role in that win last night. And Gortat continues to be consistent. I don't think he gets enough credit. I think Nene is probably the most highly touted as far from a national landscape for Wizards big men. But the Wizards big men in general, outside of Serafin, have been playing great.
Chris Humphries looks good.
Chris Humphries rebounds.
Yeah, rebounds crazy.
Tremendously. And Drew Gooden always brings energy. Kevin Serafin is the one who's not holding his weight.
So they benched him again? Because he was playing good at the beginning of the season. He was at the beginning of the season.
No, Kevin Serafin's been getting burned. Kevin Serafin on defensive is a liability. His back, as a post player offensively, he has a lot of moves in the post for an offensive player with his back to the basket. Damn, just had a brain freeze. But nah.
Back to the basket.
Nah, Otto Porter, he's starting to give you consistent minutes as a sixth or seventh man.
Nope.
I'm not saying strong. I'm saying he's playing consistent.
No, he's playing. His role
is being reduced. That's why Rasul Butler entered the game before he did, because he can shoot.
I mean, he's giving you like 15, 17.
I think he deserves playing time over like a Garrett Temple.
Garrett Temple, his minutes has went.
Yeah, since Bradley Beal came back.
That's my point. But you know, Randy Whitman last year he was a head scratcher with some of his decisions as far as substitutions. This year I think he's consistent in what he's doing. Otto Porter plays defense, which he plays
real good defense.
Which has to be their strong point going forward if you're going to beat a team like Cleveland on the road or Chicago on the road. On the road.
No, I agree. I mean,
Dwayne Wade was unstoppable last night though. That concerned me, and also the fact that they were up 20 and the Heat cut into that lead on multiple occasions in the fourth quarter. You got to learn how to close teams like Miami out on the road. At home. It's something that they'll get better at as the season goes on, especially when you're playing some of the lower ranked teams in the league, such as Detroit and Milwaukee.
Yeah, but the Wizards to me it's still a good point in time. A good point in the season. The Wizards are the two seed in the whole Eastern Conference. I think Wizards fans should be excited in that regard. This team is now competing for a chance. You look at them and say, okay, this team could be a representative of the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but we know why this.
Paul George is hurt. That's a big part
of
it.
Yeah, and then also, you know, because it's still football season, you know, people haven't really gotten into basketball yet.
Yeah, because they're still Redskins fans. You know.
No, I just think because the NBA season is real long, and specifically in this area,
it's national. It has nothing to do with Washington. I mean, nobody's even. LeBron's not even the top story. Ray Rice is the top story on SportsCenter.
Well, yes, because football. Football's always going to be bigger than basketball.
After Christmas, LeBron will start being.
That's true. Because Christmas time is after. That's how basketball is.
It has nothing to do with the Redskins. The Redskins right now
will always be bigger than the Wizards, though. They will always be bigger than the Wizards.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because of the Wizards.
I agree with that. That's right. A joke coming in.
So I know.
Let me ask y'all this.
The Wizards are doing good. They are big. They are a big story.
With Bradley Beal back in the starting lineup, where do you rank this Wizards backcourt with him and John Wall?
Two.
Behind?
Oh, Steph and Clay.
Yeah.
Nobody's been to Steph and Clay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But in terms of, I will say this though, in terms of a of guys who can do it on both ends of the court in terms of dual threats, I would go with the Wizards because they play better defense. Those guys play better defense. You know, Klay Thompson's a good defender. Don't
get wrong. Steph Curry is the weak.
He's the weak link. But you got John Wall and Bradley Beal, two decent defenders. I think, you know, in that regard, yeah, as a defensive tandem at the two guard and one position, I would go with the Wizards. But as the excitement, the guys who impact the game more, I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson impact the game more. Do you have it? You differ? No, you cool
no,
with
that? No, no. All right, OKC.
What about you, Ju? You do differ
anything?
No. You don't talk basketball?
I talk. I'm still in NFL mode.
You don't got that faded Juwan Howard jersey anymore?
Nah, I don't got that.
I don't know. Kyle Lowry and DeRozan are good.
No, that's what I feel like. Yeah, I feel like I'm shortchanging that, too.
I didn't want to argue, so I was like.
No, I mean, go ahead. I think they're strong backcourt,
Because they're in Toronto, they don't get the love. I agree with you. I agree, Ray. They up there too.
I think Bradley Beal still has some work to do before you know I can put him in on the pedestal that you guys are. So, but the question is a tandem. It's not him by himself.
Yeah.
They are a good young tandem. But DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, as far as toughness and athleticism, I would have to take them. And John Wall's not a strong shooter. Kyle Lowry's a better shooter.
Mm-hmm. DeRozan's not that strong of a shooter from the outside.
No, he's improved.
He's improved, but from the threes, about third.
He's a decent 3-point shooter, average wise.
And he takes good shots.
Yeah,
he takes good shots. So, I don't know. That's a tough one. But they're up there, obviously.
Okay. Speaking of DC, let's talk about DC's own Kevin Durant coming back tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. Westbrook came back last week. Now you got KD back in the mode. Do you think this team starts to ascend towards the upper echelon of the Western Conference in the NBA? Or do you think that I'm not going to say it's too late, but you know, they have to work out some kinks first, and that's going to help. That's going to suppress this team into like a 5 or 6 seed.
Well, having back Westbrook and Durant, it's a big period. So this is—I don't think it's too late. You got two dominant players. I know in the back of Westbrook's mind, he's probably
mentioned. OKC is down 69-52.
Okay.
In New Orleans right
in
now.
In New Orleans right now.
Yeah, I'm about to change.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't think it's going to be a problem. I mean, no Westbrook. To me, Westbrook may be a little annoyed though. That he got hurt early in the season because that was the time for him to eat. So he don't get to eat like he wanted to, you know. So, in my opinion, this team is going to be a better team because you have Westbrook, you have Durant. The players now, those players that weren't getting burned last season when Durant and Westbrook were in the lineup, got burned and they played well. Like you saw Perry Jones III, Lamb started to eat a little bit more. So they're going to be a better team overall because of the injury. So they'll be a strong team in my opinion.
I agree with you. I think it may be a little bit too late for them to get up into that upper echelon.
That's the one playoff team. As long as they're the playoff team.
Yeah, but in the playoff team. And like you said, over the long run, this is going to be a stronger team because you saw Lamb, Perry Jones, Steven Adams, all those guys played a prevalent role offensively, and they increased their confidence.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, and it was different from last season. There are stronger teams, though. Like, the Dallas Mavericks are a stronger team. Dallas Mavericks, like, truth be told, are like a championship contender. You got the Houston Rockets are a better team, Trailblazers. So the West is getting better. But, again, you have Durant, Westbrook. And one thing about Durant, even though he came off injury, you know, and I'm not going to compare to RG3, he came off injury. The guys, he works and he gets better, period. Like, he works on his craft.
All right, man. So I'm taking shots at your quarterback.
So I'm just saying, like, he gets hurt, he gets better. He probably come with another Dirk shot off 2 feet, 1 foot. You know,
he'll add something to the repertoire.
Ray saw the documentary. What else was he working on, Ray? He saw the documentary. I couldn't watch it, obviously.
Oh yeah, I saw the documentary. he probably, what you were referencing is the he had Dirk Nowitzki's one of his old shooting coach from Dallas teaching him how to do that one-legged fadeaway. But we talked about. Speaking of Westbrook, we talked about point guards, and we had this conversation a little bit earlier about best point guard. I think it's still John Wall.
Best point guard in the Eastern. You said the Eastern.
Overall. Okay, best point guard in the NBA now, just this small sample size.
Exactly.
Steph Curry.
There you go. That's my dude. Best point Steph guard.
Steph Curry.
And you knew I was going to say that, Ray.
Go ahead. Ray, you agree, Steph Curry? So we all agree, Steph Curry?
Yeah, Steph Curry.
Yeah, no arguments right here. It's most of course, you know you got.
I do like Lillard, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
He's like an assassin.
Lillard. I do like Lillard, but Steph Curry, I think Portland can at least be a 500 ball club without Lillard.
Yeah, because Aldridge's a dog.
Exactly.
Because Aldridge's a dog.
But if you take Steph off Golden State.
Because I think Klay, like you watch him, like Klay Thompson, he's a great shooter. But Steph Curry sets everything up. Like you watch, he sets everything up. He makes it easy for Klay Thompson. Exactly. Absolutely. He makes it easy for Klay Thompson to drive buckets.
It's the same thing. Don't get me
wrong. Yeah, no, I think he's a beast too.
John Wall is behind those guys for me.
Yeah, hands down. He's behind. Yeah,
those two, I definitely agree with you. In the NBA overall, just their play this year. I gotta put John Wall after those two.
But you got John Wall as the best in the East.
Definitely in the East, hands down right now.
Who would be his? But see, in the East, it's not that many
the
strong.
Only person that you could,
right?
I mean,
Rondo.
Compare, but
he's better Rondo.
Yeah.
And you're asking the wrong person too.
Yeah, I know. Darren Williams is starting to have stronger play this year, but not at that level
anymore.
Kyrie Irving,
he's not
he doesn't produce wins. Yeah.
Who, Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving's not a winner. So like
George Teague did kill John Wall recently.
George Teague is underrated. It's very underrated.
Well,
very
first
underrated.
Is Jeff Teague.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff. It's Jeff Teague. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, but nah, he does. Yeah, he does kill though. His speed gives a lot.
Try fries. See how he try fries? Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I made a mistake. Yeah, I'm accountable.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But anyway, Wally, let's tune up that music and let's go hard in the pick someone to go hard in the paint.
All right, here you go. Thanks, man. Go first, man. Appreciate
all right,
it.
I'm going with Jabari Parker. I'm not going to lie. I'm cheating. He had his breakout game. Scored 22 points. 11 of 15 from the field against Cleveland on the road. They only lost by 3 points, and he had 8 points added to it. Jabari Parker, that might have been what you needed to begin your journey towards the rookie of the year. All
right, Wally?
Yeah, where's my guy? You kind of got me right now. So I'm going to go with Rasul Butler. You know what I mean? Rasul Butler. Yeah, Rasul Butler going hard to paint, man. He's knocking down threes right now for the Wizards.
I'm gonna go with the much improved Darren Williams. I think Darren Williams is starting to play. His game is starting to round about this year. He's starting to improve over last year's performance.
You gonna go hard to paint, you?
No, I don't.
You don't want to? No. We weren't going to get go to the big, dog. Go to big. The center.
You stupid.
go to center. Go to Marc Gasol. You know. Marc Gasol going hard to bang, dog. You know. No. I do want to choose somebody. J.R. Smith, man. He go hard to bang, man.
Okay.
J.R. Smith was jive clutch against he was real clutch against the Dallas Mavericks when they lost that game. J.R. Smith, man. Hard to bang.
All right, well. First of all, I want to say thank you all for listening to us. This is our 200th show. We've been doing this for a while. Appreciate all the love and support you've given us. Want to thank you for stopping in to help take into this joyous occasion for us. I appreciate Ray for coming back and gracing us with his presence. It's much appreciated, sir. Hopefully, you'll be back again for 201, and you'll start to consistently come back and host the show with us. I get the same spiel every week. We're fans just like you guys. We're passionate about sports. We appreciate you taking 2 hours out of your time, whether it's listening to us live or via the podcast, to hear us express our thoughts on sports. Once again, thank you all. Show number 200. Hopefully you have 200 more.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you all for listening. 200. Hopefully we get to 300 and more. Maybe everything is great. I'm so boosted to have my man Ray. Boosted to have my boy Jew on the show. Years ago, we did the show at Jew's restaurant. I'm going to call it Jew's restaurant because that Jew had us, held us down back then. We had all the wings and stuff like that. We won't have any more. Where the wings at, though, Jew? Where at? Where at, though?
Samosas, baby. Everyone that.
But anyway, all jokes aside, man, it's been a blessing. Couldn't believe we got this thing started to even get to 200. Didn't think about it. Didn't think about some of the folks we get to meet and things of that sort. So everything I take is abundance from God. So just I hope it all continues.
Now that's real talk.
Now that's real talk. D- Deuces. Thanks again, folks. Goodbye. Right.
Take us out, Ron.
Oh, that's right. Tell it, Ron. Yeah, now I got to do that all slow. Say it again, because everything's slow right now. Yeah.
Now that's real talk.
It's still slow, though, yeah.
Take us out, Ron.
Still slow, though. Now take us out, Ron.
All right.